జయం విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నితిలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ్ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరిగోవర్ధానికి వృందావన ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గోర్ ప్రేమానంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అని శ్రీ గౌరంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శీల ప్రభుపాద. నమాముష్పదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణి భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయిని అంబ త్వామని సందధామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి. నమోస్తు వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే ఫుల్లారవిందాయత పత్ర నేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాదాయ తోత్ర వేత్రైకవాణయ జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్ససుదీర్భోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహద్ వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచ్చానూరమర్దనం దేవగీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతటాచేద్రుతజలా గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహని కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమగర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణనదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం దానాఖ్యానక కేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాబోధితం లోకై సజ్జన శల్పదైరహరః పేవీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్ర రుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్వంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్వేదై సాంగపదే క్రమ ఉపనిషదేర్గాయందియం సామగాః ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యందియం యోగినో యస్యాందం నవిదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. The importance of the Sahabya Buddhi, what we discussed yesterday, that the understanding is that the all our life is basically inside. It is the 95% is inside. The outside life is only 5%. What we are dealing with the world outside, but the existence itself is inside, isn't it? Our our very consciousness and our awareness, bodham, and all our thoughts, emotions, that is the real world where we are, right? And that is inside. And we have not given much attention to that. Instead, we gave a lot of attention to the world outside. And because it is, that is the avidya in us. Avidya means all this outward knowledge, what we have accumulated and put it inside, and that's causing the problems inside. So, it is because of this, is Krishna is saying that this vidya is necessary to become free from that problems inside. So, unfortunately, the vidya what we are receiving now from the world is not of much of use for us, and because it is not helping us in our internal problems. Problems are internal mostly, is it not? It is not helping our internal problems. That is why this vidya is called as avidya. Because it is not solving the problems inside, this vidya what we are receiving from outside is called avidya. Ajnanam, right? So, just because it helps you only to fill the belly and put the clothes on, more than that, it is not of much help as far as the internal situation is concerned. So, that is why this Uttamangam is Shirasa, but instead they made Uttamangam as a belly. Yeah. So, of course, everybody needs that. Eating and sleeping is required. You will also see a statement sometimes, Brahmana Bhojana Priya. Brahmana Bhojana Priya. What does that mean? It means that Brahmana Aho Janapriyaha. In other words, you can break that word in such a way that one who lives in this world for the benefit of everybody else, he is the actual proper Brahmana. He is one who lives a lifestyle by which others are getting the benefit from that, from his life, right? That's one meaning. The other one who is satisfied with the bhojanam only. All he wants is some food from this world, right? He doesn't have any other desire. And he will put some clothes on if it is available. Somebody gives him some clothes, dhoti or something. And he is happy to wear that. And satisfied with little food, if he gets it, he is more than satisfied. This is Brahmanyam. This is Brahmanyam. So, so this certificate, Bhojana Priya, is a big certificate for them. It is not insulting them by saying that. Some people misunderstand that way. That we are insulting the Brahmana by saying that Brahmana, Bhojana Priya, they like to eat good food. And they go for all the feasts. And that's not in that way it's understood, right? Not making fun. So what it means is that a little bit of food is satisfying them. And they're satisfied with that in life. And which means that they don't have much desires inside to accumulate wealth and all kinds of material desires, right? One who is in that situation, he is a Brahmana. He is a Brahmana. So Devas call them as Brahmana, right? Tam Devaha Brahmanam Vidu. So, so education, Vidyabhyasam, should be for our independence, how to become independent, right? Just that eating and sleeping is not sufficient in life, that is only a foundation, eating and sleeping is concerned. But life doesn't become perfect with that alone. That perfection or fulfillment has to come from inside. If inside Shanti is not there, fulfillment is not there, that education hasn't helped very much. This is the point, what Krishna is saying here, that perfection has to come from inside, right? And that is that purnata or perfection. That has to come from inside, and that is why that Kathopanishad verse is saying that if you have kept Krishna as your charioteer, in other words, Antaryami as your guide, if you do that, Krishna instructed Arjuna this Bhagavad Gita, and by which in buddhi this jnanam must come inside first. This knowledge must operate through the buddhi. The buddhi must accept that first thing, right? So, and with that knowledge, if a jiva is living his life, right, or one who has, when he becomes very weak in life, if he is able to have some rapport with this knowledge, right, constant contact, which is called as mananam. Mananam means that first thing the knowledge has gone inside, in buddhi, but then when crisis comes in life, able to control that from within, and by constantly an association with this knowledge, which is called mananam, right? And whatever we have heard from Bhagavad Gita or the Bhashyam, if you leave it like that, then it won't be of any much benefit. Only if it goes inside what we have heard, Shrodavya, then Mandavya, Mananam, Nididhyasidavyam. Shrodavya, Mandavya, Nididhyasidavyam, right? Heard very well, and then did very good Mananam on that, and then you make it as your own realization, which is Nididhyasanam, Nididhyasanam, right? In other words, it has become your Sarupam. Self-realization, yeah. One story about this is, in a king's palace, one yaksha came in. Yaksha said, I mentioned this story before also, that he has brought with him three skeletons, yeah. And he said that he wanted to ask questions based on these three skeletons. And he said that, Yaksha said that if they don't, you've got so many scholars in your assembly, if they haven't replied my questions, I'm going to catch all of them, every one of them, and take them away, right? So he left these three skeletons in front of the king and said that, let your pandit say who is the best out of the three and who is the middle one, who is the lowest one. Uttamam, Madhyamam, Athamam. The best, the middle, and the lowest one, right? So they looked at it. This is only skeletons there. There is no skin, there is no blood, there is no flesh, there is no form, just three skeletons, that's all. And they look all the same, three skeletons, right? And so normally with the skeleton, if you look at it, then you've got the nerves, which is all done with the ropes, and then covering that with flesh, and then the skin. So with this skeleton, if you can make a form by covering it with some earth, and similarly, you can cover it with whitewash them, and make a sort of a building-like structure, like rafters, and then cover it with the hay. So in this way, you could do that. And this body is like that. The framework is the skeleton. On top of that, flesh, blood, and medas or fat, and everything else, bones and all that. And then you have made a structure, and on top of that you have put this hair on, like the roof on the top of the head, and cover it with the hair, and all the way, that's what the body is it not? So, so if you have all these things, all these coverings on the skeleton, then you can recognize the people separately. But when you take out all these covering, then it is very difficult to recognize a person. They all look the same, is it not? So Yaksha says to them, look at these three skeletons and say to us, who is the best, who is the middle, and who is the lower one. Uttamam, Madhyamam, Athamam. Right? So at that time, one Avadhuta came in there. And what he did was, he said, bring a small, thin stick. Like in coconut leaves and all, you find that stick. Yeah. You straw-like thing, a small one. You bring it over, he said. And then he put that inside through one of the holes. And when he put it in, it came out through the other ear. When the stick, he put it through this hole, it came out through the other ear. So he said, this is the lowest one, he said. Athamam. Athama means that whatever he hear, he will lose it. It will go through the other ear. That means no impact inside, right? When he is in the Salsangam, this Athama category people, when they are in the Salsangam, they will enjoy Salsangam while sitting there, but then they will fall asleep. They will fall asleep, right? So they come, they hear, but no effect at all. No effect at all. Therefore, they are addressed as Athama. Athama, right? Second category, they put it through the ear and it came out through the mouth. So they are the people who write it down, things. Who write down things, right? And they will reproduce everything through the mouth, but has no effect inside. Impact, there is no impact inside. Then there is a first category who put it inside, it goes straight into the heart, directly into the heart, right? So that is Uttama Shrodhava, first class listener. So this Prakritam, Madhyamam, Uttamam, these three different types of listeners are there in this world, right? So Prakrita Shrodhava, that means very in the lowest level listener, you have to be careful about him, Prakrita Shrodhava, because nothing has gone inside. That means he is the same person always, never changes. Madhyama Shrodhava, the middle person, he will bore you by talking a lot, right? Uttama Shrodhava, first class listener, the message will go inside, deep inside, and it will come out as his own realization. That's the best situation, if it can happen. What he has heard, it will go inside and come out as his realization, right? So these things are there in the listening process, right? In Salsangam, there are two different types of situations. Just like in wells, you know, the wells where you get the water. There are two different types of wells in this world. In villages, you will understand this better. This example, the wells, right? Some wells, when the rain starts, in the rainy season, when the rain starts, very quickly it will get filled in. Very quickly, right? And probably after that, such wells, if you observe, what will happen is that once the rain stops, very quickly the water level will fall. It gets filled in very quickly, and very quickly the water level will fall, right? There's another type of well. If you are familiar with the wells in the villages, then you will know this. There are other types of wells which takes a long time to fill in. It has to rain a lot before the well gets filled in, right? And similarly, well, water will go down inside. What do they call it? It keeps going down in the under the bottom, right? And then when the rain stops, it takes a long time to these wells to get filled in. And when the rain stops, and after 2-3 months, you will see still the water level same in that well. From bottom, the water will keeps coming up. Because in the rainy season, it has gone in deeper level and it stayed there. And when the rain stops, it keeps coming up in the water, right? Similarly, these two types of Shravanam, When you hear that, one type, when you hear that, you will catch everything, but on an emotional level, emotionally, right? They will react. And everything they will say, what they heard about it. But after a few days, everything is forgotten. That is that first type of well, what we talked about, where the water gets in, filled in quickly, and then it gets drained completely. So everything is forgotten. The second type, people who are constantly, consciously, they won't store anything, they won't write it down, and they won't store it in their intelligence. But where did that go? That gone inside, just like the water has gone underneath the bottom of the well, and it stayed there inside, and gradually it will start coming out from there, from that storage. That is the Antaryami, where it goes in and it stays there, and it keeps coming up as and when it is required, right? So that is Uttama Shravanam. So Shravanam, these all things you've got to make into account, understand that. Shravanam is not, Shravana Samskaram is there. That means one who has developed proper Shravanam, how to hear Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, and from that Samskaram has to develop within ourselves, right? And so these type of Shraddha, what has been spoken here, that Uttama Shravanam, so these type of Shraddhas are there, and when you hear Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam, what Krishna has spoken there, able to listen to it carefully, and gradually, like the cow is chewing it, the grass, when it is eaten, right? Same way, that knowledge, what has gone in, what Krishna has given us, we have to learn how to chew it, that knowledge. It's not something you hear and then forget it, then it is no use. How to chew the knowledge, what Krishna has given us, right? And that way, making it as your own, and that is what this jnanis do. Shrodhavyam, Mandavyam, Nididhyasidavyam. Gradually, the essence of all this is self-realization, and able to go deeper into that. Ambasattva, Atmavicharam, right? So, this person who has developed among the listeners, this first class listener, is the one who is capable of doing Atmavicharam and able to realize the goal of all these things. And it is such a person is, which Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita, as Sthita Prajnato, Sthita Prajna. That person who can absorb Krishna's knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita, and able to do mananam on that, not recording it on the books, not writing it down, not putting it on the website or anything like that, but simply hearing and develop this habit of mananam and nididhyasanam, and who is able to get absorbed in that in a deeper level. And so this Sthita Prajnatvam or Sthita Prajna, what Krishna is going to say about him, is in the second chapter, main topic. So, first chapter was Vishada Yoga, Arjuna's sufferings, right? So, Krishna could have, or Vedavyasa Maharshi could have began Bhagavad Gita with some good start instead of beginning with Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra's, by his situation, it was not a very good presentation in the Bhagavad Gita or in the Bhagavadam, is it not? all other books, if you like, for example, Vishnu Sahasranam, Shuklam, Bhradaram, Vishnu Sahasranam, Shashivarnam, Chaturbhujam, it goes like that. Bhagavad Gita also could have been begun with something like that, a nice verse glorifying Vishnu. But instead, they started with Dhritarashtra Uvacha, right? And this Dhritarashtra situation, imagine, he is blind totally. Both eyes are blind, right? And neither he has the eye to see inside, and he cannot understand it also, even if somebody tells him, it's not going to have any effect on him. Daumya Maharshi, Vedavyasa Maharshi, Sanal Kumara Maharshi, all these rishis went and spoke to him before Mahabharata war. Nothing gone inside. Yeah. And such people, there are some people like that. No matter whatever you tell them, it won't go inside. It won't go inside. They will find some way of escaping from that. You remember what he mentioned in the Bhagavatam also. Dhritarashtra said the same thing to Akrura. Dhritarashtra said that whatever you have said is all true, but I think that I can't do it because there is something from inside tells me that even if I plan something, he changes it from inside. He forces me to do it, he said. Isn't it? That verse, famous verse in the... you know that verse, isn't it? It is on the last 49th chapter of the 10th canto. This is Dhritarashtra saying, it's a funny verse it is when you look at it. Yeah. He's saying to him that the... Yo durvimarsha pathaya nijamaya yedam srishtva gunan vibhajade tadanu pravishtaha tasmai namo duravabhoda viharatandra samsara chakragadaye parameshwaraya. This is Dhritarashtra's conversation with Akrura. Krishna sent Akrura to him to tell him, don't get involved in this war. It will destroy everybody. And it's for your own benefit. The right thing is to not to get implicated and protect your family, Kauravas. And similarly, you should look after Pandu's children, your brother's children, they are, and all that. So, he says to Akrura, Akrura, Yo durvimarsha pataya nijamayedam srishtva gunan vibhajade tadanyu pravishta. That when you are saying to me so many things, and I think they are all correct what you said to me, but there is something what is inside me, tadanyu pravishta, who is inside me, tasmai namo durava bhoda vihara tandra samsara chakra gadaye parameshwaraya. That's his answer for that. Someone inside from me is telling me that you can't do it, you should do it in this way. So what am I supposed to do? Now if you make an excuse like this, then what can you say to him? So Akrura understood that this is not going to work. Akrura went back and told Krishna, this is the reply I got from him. So this problem, what Dhritarashtra has got, with such a person, Vedavyasa Maharshi began Bhagavad Gita. Unlike Sahasranamam and so many other Puranams and all, he has begun with an auspicious way, with an auspicious personality to start with. But this blind person, Dhritarashtra, who won't listen to anything and who will make all kinds of excuses, with him, he decided to begin Bhagavad Gita. Right? And majority of the people in this world are Dhritarashtras. Majority in the world are Dhritarashtras, right? And what that means is they are blind. They are blind, right? And when you are blind, what do you need? You need someone else who can see things properly, right? And if somebody is there to help you, then you can go anywhere with him, with the person's help. But unfortunately, what happened with his wife, Gandhari? Gandhari tied her eyes, covered with a cloth, and tied it. Made herself blind, right? So what that means is, there is nobody to help him, to show the way, which way to go, right? So you can see the result of that, what happened to the children. Husband is like this. Wife, instead of being helpful, what she has done, she covered her eyes with a cloth and tied it and said that I am following my husband due to her devotion to the husband. Instead of showing him the way how to survive, right? So end result was, you can see what that happened to the children, right? So all these are symbols of our life in this world, right? buddhi, your own buddhi, you are covering it with the, by yourself, not allowing the buddhi to accept the knowledge properly. You are covering it yourself with that, right? So, with the result that hundreds of children were born from that, and these hundreds of children are representing the desires that's coming from inside us. So, not only that, where were the Kauravas born from? They are born from a piece of flesh, isn't it? So, what is it showing to us is that jadam, piece of flesh means jadam, dead matter. From dead matter, if it is too much matter inside us, from there desires will come. If we have no spiritual knowledge inside, completely based on matter and materialistic way of life means is jadam. Materialistic life means jadam. Jadam means desires. That is the problem with the jadam. Jadam, chaitanyam, two things. Chaitanyam doesn't have desires. Jadam has desires, right? So when it was born from jadam and not born from chaitanyam, therefore, what Vedavyasa Maharshi did, a little bit of a clever thing there. What he did was this one piece of flesh, he took it and cut them into pieces, 100 pieces. And very much similar to cloning what they do these days. It's not much highly advanced technology we have here now. So he cut them into 100 pieces and put this each piece of flesh in one different pots. 100 pots, yes, put them in. And after doing that, there was still one piece still left. So, and 100 children were born from that 100 pots where they were born. So at that time, Gandhari says to him, I want a girl as well. And therefore, Vedavyasa Maharshi put that into another pot, and that is how Dushala was born. Dushala was born. So you can see that the way they were born was not proper way. The birth wasn't very auspicious way of taking birth. From a jadam, cut into pieces, put into 100 pots, Vedavyasa Maharshi chanted some mantram and infused some life into that, and these children came out from that pots. And they are the Kauravas. They are the Kauravas, right? So, practically, those things were able, they were able to do all these things then. It's not something we are saying now that we are developed new things like this cloning and DNA and all that. They also had a lot of knowledge about all these things. There's a lot of misunderstanding about Vedic knowledge. For example, I'm saying this because I know it's 100% truth. Here, the numbering system is called as Arab numerals, isn't it? Arabic numerals. In the Western world, they call it as Arabic numerals. Where did the number system start first? It came from the rishis. Rishis are the first people who invented the numbering system, and including the zero. 1 to 10, including the zero. So the numerals actually were developed by the rishis. Later on, the Arabs who came there, they picked it up and they took to Arab countries. And from there it came here. And here people started calling this as the Arab numerals. This is how it is. So the other day, you know, this I was listening to one argument about contributions from the other civilizations to Western civilization. In that, Jacob Rees-Mogg, who was one of these Tory politicians, he was openly declaring this, we got this contribution from the numerals, from the Arabs, and things like that. So you can understand even such educated people, highly educated people, they also are blind about all these things, where it's originated from. So Arab numerals are not Arab contribution. It has come from Bharathbhumi. Rishis have invented this. And they gradually spread to other places, and it came out in that way here also. That's how the numbering system started, and then based on that algebra and all other things are later developments on that, what happened. Right. So the thing is that lot of things, even the Mahabharata times, they had a lot of knowledge. Like we are claiming today we have a lot of knowledge. They also had a lot of knowledge. As I mentioned yesterday, 5 methyl elements, they could convert them into arrows. And the rishis had the mantram for that. And Agnayastram, Varunastram and all are part of that. Yeah. Anyway, so in Mahabharatam time also, two kinds of knowledge were very, very popular. One was this weaponry system, weapon and fighting. That knowledge was very high at that time, in Mahabharata times, right? And second one was this artificial birth, how to give artificial birth. In other words, today you call it as nuclear power and genetic engineering. So these things, two things were even present even in the Mahabharata times. The rishis knew all these things, right? So, because these two things, nuclear power and genetic engineering, both of them are opposing Prakriti. It is against Prakriti's nature, right? This is not, Prakriti doesn't accept these two things. Both these two things, genetic engineering and nuclear power, they are against the Prakriti. And so, Krishna didn't want those two things to develop very much, even at the Mahabharata time. And that is the reason, without any presence of it in this world, he had conducted this war in Kurukshetram. The reason why Krishna interfered in this was, these two things, genetic engineering and nuclear power, both were available even in that time. It's not that it has only come now, this is another instance it's building up again. But at that time when it happened, Krishna had to put a stop to it, did stop to that. And so, you will notice this, why? Because after Mahabharata war, later on wars, when you look at it, in the history, nowhere mentioned about nuclear power or genetic engineering. At that time, Mahabharata war time, it is spoken about it, both these two things. Right. So, now you can see it is coming back again. It is coming back again, right? So, in other words, there could be some higher interference to control us in that way, right? So, Prakriti's law is such that this kind of vidya should not be allowed to develop. Nuclear sites, as well as the genetic engineering, all are against Prakriti. Prakriti won't allow us to do that. She will react short, heavily and put an end to it. Yeah. So, more or less, we are going back into the same time as the Mahabharata war period, right? So, that is why Krishna is saying that, Kalosmi Loga Kshayagata Pravardhaha. You remember that famous words in the universal form, Vishwarupa Darshanam. Kalosmi Loga Kshayagata Pravardhaha. Logan Samahartam Iha Pravardhaha. Kre Vitvanna Bhavishyanti Sarve Yo Avasyado Pratyani Igeshu Yotha. Krishna is very clearly saying that, I am that time. When somebody is Loga Kshayagata Pravardhaha, when I see that the Logam is getting destroyed, I have to act that time. Universal form, famous words it is. Kalosmi Loga Kshayagata Pravardhaha. Logan Samahartam Iha Pravardhaha. Those people who won't allow this world to survive, I will have to interfere at that time. And these two things, nuclear development and as well as this genetic engineering, these are all deadly against the Prakriti's law, nature's law. Nature has developed a certain way how reproduction should happen in this world, in all species, and how we should help each other and protect each other, not through this because nuclear means total destruction it is. Is it not? Total destruction it is. And then life becomes extinct probably in this planet if we go to that extent. So Prakriti won't allow us to do that. Before that she will put the spanner and stop it. Right? So Krishna is saying that here, that I have come, he says there, I have come to destroy everything, right? And he made sure that without the mark of that, he completely wiped it out from the earth, right? So, after Mahabharata incident, so many stories have happened, and in all of them, you could have written about this Brahmastram, Varunastram, Agnayastram, but it is not spoken anywhere in any of the war after Mahabharata war. Kings were fighting after that also, different kingdoms were fighting, but nowhere spoken about these astrams, what was used in the Mahabharata war. What does that show? Yeah. So, And similarly, this artificial insemination and all that is not spoken anywhere, right? So these 100 children, Kauravas, who were born with this same technology, right? They were the children of Ajnanam, Avidya, Sandhari, right? So with a person like that, Dhritarashtra, is Bhagavad Gita has begun in that way, right? And the first chapter is Arjuna Vishada Yogam. So, in other words, Adhyalpa Vidya begins from Vishadam. Unless Vishadam is there, Adhyalpa Vidya won't be there. Adhyalpa Vidya begins from Vishadam, right? From distress. And it can begin from Sukham also. But it is a paradox. It's a paradox. Adhyalpa Vidya very often is a continuation of distress. It's only when distress is there, this Adhyalpa Vidya will go inside. Otherwise it won't go in. This is the problem with Adhyalpa Vidya. Preaching and all you can do, but then it will become an entertainment and it will become a professional way of life. But strictly speaking, if this knowledge has to go inside and starts working, it has to begin with the distress. Distress is a pre-requirement for that, right? So, generally, Adhyatma Jeevitam or spiritual life begins from distress, right? Therefore, that is the reason great Mahalmas, many of them said this, if distress is going to come to us, let plenty of it come in life, right? You know famous Kunti Devi's prayers in the Bhagavatam. For this reason, the Kunti Devi said like that, Vibhada Sanduda Shashwal Tatra Tatra Jagadguru Bhavado Darshanam Yasyal Apunar Bhava Darshanam. That's a very clear statement in the Bhagavatam, right? So, Dukkham or distress or suffering, when it joins the Salsangam, that is when Vishadam becomes Yogam. When I say Salsangam, don't misunderstand it. Hiring a hall and sitting there all together and having a regular program. That is not what Salsangam actually means. An association with a Mahatma, if you get an opportunity, if you are in a distressful state, if you get an opportunity to associate with a great personality who I realized, that's proper Salsangam. So, if you are distressed, lot of suffering in life, and if you are distressed very much, and then you get a satsangam with somebody, then that Vishadam will become Yogam. That Vishadam will become Yogam. So Vishadam, distress, if it gets, instead of satsangam, if you get dusangam, if you join that, then Vishadam will become a Rogam. Instead of becoming a Yogam, it will become a Rogam, right? Arjuna got Vishadam, Karna also got Vishadam, right? Duryodhana also got Vishadam, right? But Duryodhana Sangam is Shaguni. Shaguni is his uncle, good uncle. Shaguni. And the result was, it became a disease, Rogam, right? And that Rogam became Droham later on. So, instead of becoming a Yogam, it becoming a Droham, right? So here you see Arjuna's Vishadam has become a Yogam because of Salsangam with Krishna. Salsangam with Krishna, right? These are all to teach us how spiritual life works in this world. That's what you have to learn from this. That Arjuna had to be depressed first. And from that depression and suffering, he got the right Salsangam of Krishna. And that Salsangam led him to spiritual life and self-realization at the end, right? So, because of that Salsangam with Krishna, Arjuna at the end, because of that Salsangam, right? So you can say like this, because of that Vishadam first, in Arjuna's case that's what happened. Because of the effect of Vishadam, that distress in his heart, first thing what did he do? He gave up karma. The end result was he gave up karma, right? He said that I won't do any, I won't fight, he said. Yeah? And that is a good symptom. Why? When vishadam comes or distress comes in life, you should not act. You should not act. Just like when you see the red light, you don't cross, you stop the car. Similarly, when distress comes in life, the right thing to do is to stop the work first, right? And that means inside there is problem. There is problem, right? You should stop karma and fix the problem inside first. Fix the problem inside, right? And then, you just like the car, when the green light comes, you can drive again. But you see the red light, you should stop. It is something like that, right? Once you have fixed the problem inside, then you can get into karma again, right? Then there will be no problem. And this is the sampradaya of the rishis. This is rishis' advice to us. In life, distress will come. In karma, field of karma, distress will come. And when distress comes, you should withdraw from the field of karma. Till you fix the problem inside, before you enter into karma again, right? They didn't give too much importance to karma. This is the rishi's approach. They didn't give too much importance to karma, right? Bhagavad Gita, we all are misunderstood or misinterpreting Bhagavad Gita these days, is it not? They will say, what has Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita? You have to do your karma, your duty, they keep saying this, right? So, that is not Bhagavad Gita's message, right? You have to do the duty the way it should be done, right? So, that means without any attachment to the results, and with perfect knowledge inside, one should conduct the duty, which is going to discuss now on. Karma Yoga is coming to that, right? So, Purnatvam, that is perfection inside. Karmam, what you do, it must be an expression of that your perfection inside. When you do the karmam, one should be able to do that karmam without expectation of that results, and without expectation of I am the doer, without that bodham, but if one is able to do the karmam, that is the that perfection. Now, Arjuna became distressed, right? And the end result of that, you see in the first chapter, no advice from Krishna. Arjuna suffering, problems. That's all the whole chapter is, right? And vishadam. Vishadam is a symptom of ajnanam, avidya. Vishadam is a symptom of ajnanam or avidya, right? And similarly, ajnanam or avidya's another symptom of that is ahangaram. Ahangaram and vishadam, these two things are symptoms of avidya inside. Yeah? And you can see both that in the first chapter. So Arjuna has not done surrendered yet in the first chapter, Sharanagati, right? And he didn't ask for Bhagavad Gita also in the first chapter, right? So, in first chapter, what do you find there? Krishna is simply a sakshi or a witness to everything. More or less, he was like a car driver, chariot driver. He sat there, listening to all Arjuna was spitting out from his brain, right? So, and he told him, and Arjuna was giving order to Krishna, senayor bhayor madhye rasam sthapaya machyuta, things like that. Like you call, rich people call, they call their driver and say to him, bring the car to the, you know, when you've got drivers and all that, when you do like that, right? So, Achyuta, bring the chariot and keep it in the middle of the, in the middle of the army, like that. So, Krishna didn't say one word. Krishna brought the chariot as told by Arjuna and brought in driver's position he took. Some people say his name is Achyuta actually. D. Achyuta they say. Driver Achyuta. Krishna's name D. Achyuta. Right. So Bhishma said about this in the Bhishma Sthuti. If you look into the Bhagavatam, you will see that. So Krishna is showing to us how to live in this world, right? As driver, not as Dwaragadish, just as a driver of Arjuna, right? If it's a driver, he'll be a driver. And then when the Rajasuyam happened, loads of rishis came. You know what Krishna did there? Krishna took the responsibility of washing their feet and taking their plates, what they have eaten, and clearing up the space. Cleaning up all the remnants from the plates, what they have eaten, taking the leaves and going and putting it into the bin. This was Krishna's duty in the Rajasuyam. This is what he was doing, right? So all these different things Krishna did, driver, charioteer, and then he did this, lived as king in the Dwarakadish, right? Then clearing up everything for when the feast was served for the rishis in the Rajasuyam. And then they asked him if he could go and speak to Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana before the war for as a mission of making peace with them as a representative of the Pandavas. He did that also, right? So, and similarly, if you have to look after the cows, he's willing to do that. Whichever role was given, he will do it perfectly in that role, right? So when Arjuna asked Krishna to bring the chariot and bring it in the middle of the army, Krishna did that. But along with that, Krishna did a little trick with that. Deliberately he did that. What did he do? And he brought it in front of Bhishma and Drona. And right in the middle of them, he went and parked the chariot. That was Krishna's a clever thing what he did deliberately for this reason, right? And then he says to Arjuna, Arjuna, look at this, your great-grandfather is standing here. In order to whip up that emotions inside, Krishna is not bothered about anything. This is a leela for him. This Mahabharata is a leela for him. Because that is his state, isn't it? So he says to him, that this side is your grandfather, the other side is your teacher, great teacher, Drona, who is standing there. Because at that time, Krishna knows very well that Arjuna is having a lot of depression inside to fight this war. And he wants that depression to come out from him. So in order to agitate him more, Krishna did this to him. So there is distress inside and he wants that to come out. Therefore, this is the reason why we have to understand this is, when you go to see great Mahatmas who are on a higher level of spiritual realization, right? What happens to you at that time, right? It is like this, they will play with your conscience. They'll play with your conscience, right? There's a game which in the villages they play. A big stick and a small stick. Small stick they will keep it, and with the big stick they'll touch it, and the small thing will lift it and then they'll beat it up. Different names, but it played everywhere in the villages, right? So that kind of thing. So when you go to see Mahatmas, what they do is, they will agitate our vasanas inside by talking to us. Realize the souls. They have that strength to do that. They will look at us and they know what kind of vasanas we have. And all the vasanas will get disturbed and it will wake up from inside. And that is why when you sit there in front of them, you will start feeling you don't know what to do. A situation will come because all the vasana starts coming out from inside. And then Mahatma say, the people say like this, that if you sit close to the jnani or realize the soul, it is something like sitting very close to a fire. Close to a fire. And there this same thing Christian preachers also say in a different way. Jesus has said this apparently. You see, to stay near me is to stay near fire, Jesus said, right? To go away from me is to go away from the kingdom of God. The preachers talk all these things, but they don't fully understand the way it is to be understood, right? Because self-realization, like the way it is spoken in Bhagavad Gita, it's not there in any other scripture. With such precision, and with such a detailed explanation of self-realization process, the way it is spoken in Bhagavad Gita is not there in any other literature in this world. That's the beauty of Bhagavad Gita. They have developed a perfect science and art out of this self-realization process, right? So what it is that if you sit closer to them, you will start realizing that these vasanas inside will get destroyed inside us. Our vasanas will change, right? If you go away from them, then you will experience that you are falling away from connection with the Antaryami totally. It will happen like that. So, but if you are in the association of a Mahatma, what that means is, all the impurities inside us, in the form of different vasanas, they get agitated. Which means, our ahankaram, centered around which all our vasanas are operating. You know that. Ahankarascha drishyande, Krishna is saying there, isn't it? Harsha shokha bhaya krodha lobha moha sprahadeya. Ahankarascha drishyande. Ahankaram is the pillar centered around which all these different impurities are operating inside us. So that will become, that ahankaram, once it shakes, all the other emotions also will start operating within us. Envy, pride, jealousy, greed, lust, anger, all kinds of impurities inside will start coming out from inside, right? So what we thought somehow managed to keep under control inside us, they will agitate it, and it will come out from us, right? So that's exactly what Krishna has done with Arjuna. Arjuna had all this inside, and one of the problem is attachment. Arjuna had attachment. And with attachment, if you hear Bhagavad Gita, it won't work very well. Bhagavad Gita requires some degree of vairagyam inside. Vishadam, vairagyam, all these things, right? Arjuna had this asakti, attachment, to his relations. Krishna knows this well, right? Arjuna also had ahankaram, that I am the best fighter, right? And prior to this, he has defeated many people. He has won many battles as well. And he has killed all of many people, and he didn't bother about it, but he didn't have any attachment towards them. But now he has got an attachment to these people, Bhishma, Drona and others. The attachment he didn't have with other people whom he has killed, because he has killed many people before. He didn't feel any attachment then. But suddenly he got attached to this Bhishma and Drona, and Krishna don't appreciate that. Krishna is saying that is based on your bodily understanding. Yeah. So that means you are partial. If you have compassion for others, you should have compassion for everybody. Not that you pick and choose whom you want to show compassion. That is not compassion. That is bodily attachment it is, right? So Krishna wanted to agitate all these things inside him. For that, he created a situation like this, and in that Kurukshetra Bhumi, and brought this chariot in front of them and stopped it in front of, between Bhishma and Drona, right? And then he said there, if you look at that verse, what in the first chapter, Bhishma Drona Pramukhada, 25th verse, Sarveshamja Mahikshidam Uvaja Partha Pashaidan Samavedan Kuru Nidhi. Sanjay is saying this. This is what Krishna has done, right? So, when he brought that, Bhishma Drona Pramukhada, Sarvesham, and he's saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, look who is standing here, this is Bhishma. He's introducing Bhishma to Arjuna. Look at this, who is Drona there, chanting there. Deliberately whipping it up from inside, that attachment, what he had towards them, right? So he says to them, Partha, see all the Kauravas standing there, and they're all your relations, aren't they? He says to him, right? And as though Arjuna has not seen them till then, he's introducing to them, right? So this vasana inside us, sometimes it will manifest in a very mild form, right? So, but normally it is like that. But in Mahalpa's association, these vasanas will come out very strongly in Mahalpa's association, right? So that is the reason, when Jayavijaya were in Vaikuntham, when Sanat Kumara Maharshi and others came there, why did Jayavijaya stop them? They had some vasanas inside, but that vasanas came out because of the association with the Kumaras. You start with thinking, isn't it, how can this happen in Vaikuntham? Such a thing could happen in Vaikuntham. The answer for that is this. In the association of great personalities, our vasanas inside, which we are somehow keeping it under check, not allowing to come out, those inferior vasanas like that, it will come out automatically. Without our knowledge, it will come out. And that's the reason that made Jayavijaya to stop the Kumaras. Otherwise, how could you stop Kumaras who are the who have even refused to listen to Lord Brahma? That is their situation, right? So then they acted in a rude way to the Kumaras, and due to that, they have to come as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Shishubala, Dandavatra, three lifetimes they had to come, right? otherwise, if you ask a question, how come in Vaikuntham such a thing happened? How could such a thing happen? In Vaikuntham, Vaikuntham is supposed to be a safe place where you don't, where everyone is full of Aishwaryam opulences and everyone is a devotee and everybody is serving each other. No preaching. There's no need to preach there because everyone is a devotee. Right? So how come such a thing happened in Vaikuntham? The explanation for that is this. In the association of Mahalpas, if there is some trace of vasana inside in some form, it will come out. Udaya karma vasana, say 7th canto. Udaya karma vasana. Udi, it is called, karma vasana inside us. So understand the power of vasanas, how subtle it is and how it can stay hidden inside waiting for an opportunity to come out. The vasanas that are strong inside us comes out very easily. And that's normal life, the normal vasanas coming out. But there are hidden vasanas inside us, right? So even today, among great jnanis and yogis and all, surrounded by them, sometimes you will see some very horrible characters around them. You will see some people around these Mahalpas who are very horrible in their nature, right? So, one person asked Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, he said to him that whole world is glorifying you, right? But only these people in Dakshineshwar who are near that temple, they don't value for you. They have no value for you. But the rest of the world is all accepting you as a great spiritual personality, right? So Paramahamsa said like this, that when you light a lamp and keep it there, right underneath the lamp, there is darkness. There is darkness, right? So similarly, in their association, right, whatever that is inside you, it will become stronger. So these people who are living around him, what he was trying to say was that because their vasanas are coming out inside, so therefore they are finding it difficult to accept spiritual instructions. People who lived in Dakshineshwar at that time, where the Ramakrishna Paramahamsa was living there, right? So jnani or realized soul is actually not a person, right? He is Bodham, consciousness itself, right? That is his Swarupam. Consciousness is his Swarupam. So in that consciousness, presence of consciousness, whatever you may have inside, it will become stronger. And therefore Upanishad says that in the friend of jnanis, if you are with the jnanis and friend of them, whatever you, if you desire in your mind inside, you have to be very careful, because whatever you desire inside, it will happen. It will happen, right? So whether it is negative or it is positive, in the association of great personalities, when you sit with them, right? He doesn't have to bless you or consciously bless you for that. Even without their knowledge, just like if you are sitting in front of a powerful lamp, that light is coming to you, in the similar way, his association itself, that sannidhi, what they call it, sannidhi means his presence itself, is capable of giving power to all your desires inside and making it happen. Yeah. So, Arjuna's asakti to Drona, Bhishma and all that, in normal course of time, wouldn't have come out like the way it has come out in this particular situation, right? Because Krishna was there. And in Krishna's presence, if Krishna has shown it to him, like the way he introduced Bhishma and Drona to him, there, Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying this, that verse, what you notice now, verse 26, Tatra Pashyat Stidan Partha, Pitranatha Pidamahan, Acharyan, Matulan, Bratran, Putran, Pautran, Sakhim Stata. All relationships, Krishna is talking about it. As though it's the most important thing for Krishna, these relationships. Krishna is talking like an ordinary person, saying, look at your uncle, your aunts, your brothers, your sisters, your this, your that. Acharyan, Matulan, uncle, brethren, brothers, putran, pautran, grandsons, they're all there, he says to him, right? So, what has happened now? What did Arjuna see? Arjuna did not see the persons there. He is seeing so many different forms there. So, people who are conscious, they will... If you see people in a normal way, you will see the name and the form, right? Name and the form. But when you see people with vasana inside, it's a different way of seeing. Particularly, you can see that, suppose your own family members or relations when they come, there is something inside as a vasana that starts working. Oh, they are my relations, they are my mother, they are my father, in this way, right? And in that process, some relations you like, whom do you like? You will see them with that way. Some people you don't like, you don't want them to come, but they have come. What can you do? So you will see them in a different way, right? That means you are seeing them through your vasanas inside. Whatever vasanas you have, through them, right? Some of them you are thinking it's your people. Some of them you don't like them so much, so they're not yours. But they happen to be blood relations, as we call it. Right. So, in this way, we are segregating people, our relations and friends and family and all that, right? That means you are seeing these people with a special vasana from inside. Through vasana, you are making this judgment about them and seeing them through vasanas, in other words, right? So, giving them a particular attribute to them. For some reason you like them, some reason you don't dislike them. In this way you are seeing them, and that is how you are interacting with them. You are seeing them in that way, right? So, this thing, what happened to Arjuna here, this kind of situation is what creates this world in front of us. The whole world, we see it like this. Everything in this world, right? So, that's why he said there, Tatra apashyat stidan partha. Tatra അപശ്യാൻ സ്ഥിതാൻ പാർത്ഥ പിതൃനാഥ പിതാമഹാൻ ആചാര്യൻ മാതുരൻ ഭ്രാതൻ പുത്രൻ പൗത്രൻ സഹിംസ്ഥത. സോ അർജുന സോ ദിസ് വിത്ത് ഓൾ ഡൈവേഴ്സിറ്റി ആൻഡ് മൾട്ടിപ്ലിസിറ്റി. വാട്ട് ഹി ഹാസ് സീൻ ഈസ് ദ്വൈതം, ദ്വൈതഭാവം. ദീസ് ആർ ഓൾ ഡിഫറെന്റ് ഭാവം, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? റിലേഷൻസ് മീൻസ് ഡിഫറെന്റ് ഭാവം. അങ്കിൾ മീൻസ് യു ഹാവ് വൺ ഭാവം, നെഫ്യു മീൻസ് യു ഹാവ് അനദർ ഭാവം, ആൻഡ് അതർ റിലേഷൻസ്, ഗ്രാൻഡ് ഫാദർ മീൻസ് അനദർ ഭാവം. വാട്ട് ആർ ദേ ആക്ച്വലി? ദേ ആർ ഓൾ ബേസ്ഡ് ഓൺ ദ ബോഡി, ബട്ട് ഭാവം ഈസ് ഡിഫറെന്റ്. ഡിഫറെന്റ് റിലേഷൻഷിപ്സ്, ഡിഫറെന്റ് ഭാവംസ്, റൈറ്റ്? So that's what he's saying here. Pitran, Pitamaha, Matula, Shoshura, all these different. And they are come here as to fight. Both sides he is looking. One side is his army, who? Pandava's army. The other side is the Kauravas. So one side is all people whom he likes. That is his army, Arjuna's army. The opposite side is the ones whom he doesn't like, and he is seeing them as well, right? And some people who are very close to him, some people he doesn't like them, hate them in that way, right? So he saw all these things, who? Arjuna. And that means he has seen everything with Veda Buddhi. With Veda Buddhi he has seen. The same Krishna who created this in Arjuna, he is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, this Veda Buddhi must go from inside. You see? So, that is the difference, right? So, when he saw this, suppose normally if you have seen people, it won't create this impact on you so much. You see so many things in this world, but when you see things with ragadvesham, it changes the whole situation. When you see things normally, you see so many people in the street, you are not affected by that. You are seeing them, they are gone, come and gone, come and gone. You don't talk to them once in a while, you just say hi, that's it, that's finished with that. No more interaction, isn't it? But with someone whom you have ragadvesham, which you have as created inside, right? If you do anything with ragadvesham, those things will affect us. Will affect us, either positive or negative, right? What was Arjuna's situation here? That is what he is saying in that, what happened to Arjuna. he is saying here, Gandivam Sramsade Hastad, the impact of that. Gandivam fell from his hand. Tukcheva Paridahyade, Najaknam Avastadam Brahmadivachame Mana. Arjuna is saying this. This is what is happened to him, right? Body became a little bit unsteady, right? Felt weak, intelligence is not able to operate properly, and feel disturbed inside. Ashanti has come to him. So when that happened, this great personality Arjuna had suddenly becomes useless. This great personality Arjuna has become useless. So, And therefore, because it happened that way, that is the time when Krishna told him that you are third gender. Klaibhyam, he said, isn't it? Klaibhyam asmagama partha naivatta yubabhajyade chudram hrdaya dorbalyam tetto tishta parandava. When Krishna addressed him like that, that with this situation, and when he said that, that neither you are a man nor a woman, in other words, right? Deliberately Krishna smacked him that way by using that word, klibattam, klibam, right? Such a great personality, courageous and heroic person like Arjuna, what made him to be like this, right? Duryodhana and Dushasana did not cause this problem for him, to Arjuna, right? And relations and all did not cause much problem. His own mind weakened him. His own mind from inside pulled him down. They didn't do anything. They were standing there. But his own mind pulled him down, right? So, if our life also, if our mind don't become, make us weak, then nobody can do anything with us, right? So, if our mind has become very weak and cannot hold anything, then we will have to accept the defeat. We'll have to accept the defeat. So, basically, Krishna is trying to explain to us here that what weakened Arjuna was his mind, right? And with that weakened state of mind, in that weakened condition, Arjuna spoke to Krishna, right? That is when he said, Shishyasteham Shadimam Tvam Prapannam. You know, when you read Bhagavad Gita, you have to keep thinking the scene, what, where it is happening, the background behind it, what kind of emotions and thoughts are coming in their heart, how it is impacting them. All this is important to know. Only then you will get a proper picture of Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise you won't be able to relate with Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita has to be thought through all the time and see that it has, what is the condition of everyone in that battlefield. You have to look through that and build a picture yourself within your mind, right? So, and there is reason why all this is spoken in a particular way, why Vedavyasa has presented it, right? So, ultimately, Arjuna said, I can't do anything. Shishyasteham Shadimam Tvam Prapannam. I'm surrendering to you. I don't know what I can do, he said, right? So, sometimes when you take some patients to the doctor, patient will give a lot of advice to the doctor. So you notice that you tell all your problems and you feel this is gone wrong, that has gone wrong. So the doctor has to be patient first to listen to all the nonsense what we are going to tell him. He will listen to all that, then after that he will start speaking, right? So otherwise, in the same way, Krishna didn't say anything first. He heard everything what he has to say, because he knew that by saying anything, nothing is going to happen. In other words, when our mind is spitting out a lot of nonsense from inside, the spiritual master, Krishna is a spiritual master here. Krishna is a spiritual master here. Spiritual master won't say anything, right? And when spiritual master starts speaking, then there will be silence in you. Silence in you, right? So this chapter, first chapter, is all Arjuna speaking, means the mind is speaking. And in the second chapter, when Krishna started speaking, it is the spiritual master is speaking. He's speaking at this moment from inside. And that's when the Upadesham begins at that time. So for all of us, right? We don't need books or anything, because this will happen within ourselves. We say that, you can say it's prayers or whatever. When you speak and when he listens to it, then it is prayer. When he speaks and then you listen to it, it's meditation. It's meditation, right? So when Krishna starts speaking, then we cannot speak anymore. We cannot speak anymore, right? We are saying that our mind is oscillating or wobbly, right? Chittavritti comes inside, different sangalpam comes. And there is no point in shutting the mouth and keeping quiet about it, because there is a lot of problems inside. That is why it is coming up inside, right? So, till that problem settles down, you keep speaking. But when spiritual master starts speaking, then it comes down, right? So, Krishna didn't tell Arjuna that remain without any chittavritti or without any sangalpa vigalpam. He didn't put the upadesham like that, right? So, he gave the injunctions in such a way that when the Bhagavad Gita, or in other words, when this oscillation of the mind, or this movement of the mind, when it comes down from inside, Andaryami will speak. That is how the message of Bhagavad Gita gets in. Even when Krishna spoke to Arjuna, Krishna knows that the Antaryami in Arjuna has to start working. That is the biggest part of it. Beautiful sight. That Krishna knows the way it works is, transcendental knowledge, spiritual knowledge works. It's not by a lecture from someone or reading from some book. It won't come. It has to come from Antaryami inside. Antaryami inside, right? So, if similarly, that is why that important verse in the Bhagavatam also. Atmano Guru Atmaiva Purushasya Visheshada Pratyakshe Nanumanabhyam Shreyasam Anuvindade. Basically, Antaryami comes out in the form of a Guru and turns your attention inwards. That's what outside Guru does. He pushes your attention towards Antaryami from outside. And Antaryami from inside pulls you towards Him. All this is required for self-realization. Antaryami from inside has to pull us, and a spiritual master from outside has to push us towards the Antaryami inside, right? So when Antaratma Guru starts instructing, he only instructs from inside, right? If Antaryami starts instructing, the mind will come down, settle down, right? So, Atmano Guru Atmaiva Purushasya Visheshada Pratyakshan Anumanabhyam Shreyasam Anuvindade. Antaryami himself is the Guru. Antaryami himself is the Guru, right? So, this mind which is gone into the world too far, Bahirmukham, to such a mind, by Upadesham, instructions, what the Guru does is, it turns it inwards, Antarmukhatvam. So, Behirmukham becomes Antarmukhatvam with the help of Guru. That is the Guru's main responsibility, to turn the attention inwards, right? And from inside, from inside, he pulls them in. In another place in the Ekadasham, Krishna says this, Acharya Chaitya Vapusho Sugadim Vinakti. Famous statement in the Uddhava. Acharya Chaitya Vapusho Sugadim Vinakti says, as Chaitya Guru in Chetasa, it is Acharya who is present there as Antaryami, Sugadim Vinakti, and he has to take you into the right direction. Acharya Chaitya Vapusho Sugadim Vinakti, he says there, right? So, this whole process, Krishna knows this process, this is how it works. And therefore, Krishna is doing, this Antaryami inside has to wake up. You see, what happens is, when you start saying everything, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna is doing everything. Krishna has a system. Krishna means that knowledge came in a personal form in front of us to help us to understand the truth. Otherwise, Bhagavatam need not have said like that. Vadandita tattvavidam. Tattvam yat jnanam, advaya jnanam he is. And that advaya jnanam, you are addressing it as Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavanidi, Shabdyade. According to your taste, you can call him as Brahman, yogis call it as Paramatma, devotees calls it as Bhagavan. Once you say that, form has come then. Bhagavan, when you say like that. Yeah. So, now, here, first chapter, Arjuna spoke, Krishna heard, right? This Shravanam is the most powerful thing, right? Out of all our five senses, the most subtle one is this one, ear. Most subtle of all the five is ear, not the eye. World thinks the eye is the most dependable one, they say, is it not? Because I've seen it myself, they'll say, sometimes. Eyewitness. Yeah, eyewitness, yeah, all these things, right? So, so most subtle one, extremely subtle one, is this ear, right? Why? Because it is connected to space, Akasham. Akasham and Shabdam, they are connected to each other. And Akasham is the most subtle of all the five material elements. And the most gross one is the Prithvi, earth. And then subtle than the Prithvi is the water, subtle than that is the fire, subtle than that is the Vayu, and the most subtle of all that is the space. So, and this space Tanmatra is Shabdam. And that is why Shravanam is most subtle. The next one is Vayu, and Vayu Tanmatra is Parsham. Similarly, Agni, its Tanmatra is Rupam, Tanmatra is Rupam. And then Jalam, its Tanmatra is Rasam. And then Bhumi, its Tanmatra is Gandham. So for Gandham is for human species only, this is. For us, Gandham is the most gross one. The subtle than the Gandham is the taste. Subtle than the taste is the form. And subtle than the form is the sparsham. And subtle than the sparsham is the shravanam. Shrotram. Yeah. So, smelling is a stulam, it is called. Stula vyabharam. Most gross one. Right? But for animals, this is the most powerful one. What is most gross for us is the most subtle for them. Right? So you see the dogs, how they are going like this. All the time smelling something. Right? And that quality is the least in us. We don't do that. Right? And more than that is taste. Right? Which is, and then as you know, the darshanam, then sparshanam, and the most sushram is shravanam, right? Therefore, shravanam is the deepest spiritual sadhana, shravanam. Of all the sadhanas, because it is shravanam, is the most subtle one, the deeper sadhana is also shravanam, because it is the most subtle one, right? So, and this self-realization cannot happen with any other process except through Shravanam, and that is how, that's the only way self-realization will happen, and that is the rule in Vedantam. It's a rule in Vedantam that only through Shravanam self-realization can happen. So, and that is why in Bhagavatam also, what did they say? Shushrushu bhi talchanal, it says. You remember? In the first verse itself, that dharma projita kaidavottaramo nirmal saranam sadam vedyam vastavamatra vastushivadam thapatrayon mulanam Srimad Bhagavade Mahamanikrade Kimvabare Ishure Sadhyo Hrid Avarudhya Detra Kridibhi Shushrushubhi Talchanal, he says. That's referring to Shravanam. Sadhyo Hrid Srimad Bhagavade Mahamunigirde Kimvabare Ishware Sadyohrid Avirudhyatra Kribi. What Shravanam does is Antaryami gets affected. He hears that, right? So, which means that the moment you start hearing, Krishna appears in your heart. Krishna appears in your heart, right? Because if Krishna is something, you can get him by your effort, then it won't happen by hearing about him. Immediately you hear about him, it won't happen, right? Provided Krishna is something you can get by your effort. That's why Bhagavatam is saying that itself. It's not something you can get by your effort alone. So, after hearing you have to do something, no, that is not how the process is. Krishna, already you got it. This is the important thing to know. Unfortunately, in spiritual life, because we come from the karmi background, don't we? Karmi background is what? I have to do a lot of things so I'll get the result at the end. This mindset is very strong in everyone. And that is why when we come to spiritual life also, we start thinking that, I have to do my sadhana for several years and one day it will happen, whenever it happens. Some people say it will happen in one lifetime, somebody else says three lifetimes. Somebody else says, spiritual master says, I'll have to come back to take you back again and things like that. All kinds of things. So, all very gross understanding. If you change all this principle, what Krishna is talking about, then your spiritual life also goes in another direction. Krishna is saying to us, this vastu, what you are looking for, you already got it inside. present inside you as your Antaryami all the time. And because of your presence only, you are feeling your existence. Is it not? Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Subhavam. Antaryami is nature. He's defined it like that. As he said yesterday, the only thing what we have is that we have acquired all the avidya inside. And avidya is not allowing us to realize this truth who is inside us, right? So Krishna is already, you have got it. You remember what Prahlada said. You have already got him, he said. Atma, Nityam, Avyayam, Siddhida, he says. You have already got it. Narada Maharshi says this to Prahlada. Remember, in the 7th canto, the 12 qualities of the soul, when it is spoken, 6 qualities of the body is very easy to understand, because that you can see with your eyes. The 12 qualities of the soul are all subtle. And therefore, he specifically defined what the soul is. Soul is already, is Antaryami, is Krishna, you already got it. Nitya Shuddha Avyayam, all that 12 things what he has spoken there, right? So, Siddhavastu, as this example in the Puranams also, that you can't see the chain in your neck, right? And then somebody pointed it out to you. You are wearing it and you are searching for it, he said. Similarly, old people, they'll keep their glasses on their nose like this and say, I can't find my glasses, they'll say. The glasses on their nose top of the nose. And they're searching for the glasses. In the same way. Similarly, Vastu, what we are looking for is already inside, and we are looking for him all over the world, searching everywhere, right? So, Guru, what he does is, he's not going to do anything new. What he is doing is that whatever blocks are there within us of realizing that the presence of Antaryami inside, through the middle of all that, he is able to break through and able to show us that he is inside us, and that experience to wake us up inside and make us aware that he is there inside. That's what the Guru's duty is. What Guru does to the disciple is that with all the avidya inside, he is able to cut through that and make us aware that that vastu you are looking for is already inside you, right? So he is not going to bring it from anywhere outside, and within all the other problems, blocks inside, right? He is still able to show to us the presence of Antaryami, Krishna, inside us, right? And this same principle, Vilumangalam says this in a nice way, and this is the spiritual side of the Rasa dance, right? Anganam, Anganam, Andare, Madhava. Madhavam, Madhavam, Andare, Angana. Two gopis and in the middle Krishna. Or two Krishnas in the middle, one gopi. When they make the rasa dance, that is how it was. Two gopis in the middle, one Krishna. Or two Krishnas in the middle, one gopi. One gopi, one Krishna. One gopi, one Krishna. That is how the formation was. Right? And Mandale Madhya, Sanjano Venuna Devagi Nandana. Vilumangalam says that in the Karnamrtam. Right? So, between two gopis, one Madhava. And who is this gopi here? Gopis are the chittavritti. Yeah? And between the two chittavrittis, Madhava is coming. And that Sri Narada Maharshi says in the 7th canto. Yeah. So those things you have to connect with this. Then you understand what Krishna is doing here. Right? When chittavrittis are the way rasa dance is spoken is the external side of that. But the spiritual understanding of that rasa dance is that when the chittavritti or gopis are coming, changing, in between Krishna disappears. In between Krishna disappears, right? So, between two chittavritti, there is always this perfection. There is always this perfection. Only thing is, we are not able to notice all this. We have become so gross in our understanding of things. Yeah. So that is why he mentioned that, Sri Narada Maharshi said that, Supta Prabhodayo Sando, Atmano Gati Atma Drikke, Pashyan Bandham Ja Mokshan Ja, Maya Matram Navastuda. He said. Then, fifth verse in the 13th chapter, 7th canto, right? So, Sri Narada Maharshi is saying this, that Supta Prabhodaya Sandho, that Sandha, Sandha means that juncture between two thought waves, or you can say deep sleep and awakened state. Three states also, the same thing. Similarly, between two thought waves also, Atmano Gati Atmadrakha, you can notice him, his presence. Unfortunately, our difficulty is that we are not able to segregate the thoughts. Our mind is such that one thought comes, and when you are completely caught up in that thought, another thought comes in, and this thought goes away. And the gap between the two thoughts, we cannot identify it. We are not able to break them up. That's the problem. Supta Prabhodaya Sandhu Alpano Gadi Ratmadre. Krishna is saying here, Narada Maharshi is saying there, Pashyan Bandhanja Mokshanja Maya Matram No Vastuda. So, therefore, even when we have thought waves, Krishna's point is that between these chittavritti happens, right? Suppose in us also, when chittavrittis are happening, chittavritti cannot happen unless behind that there is a perfection. Where is the perfection, right? So, chittavrittis are imperfect. Not purnam, apurnam, right? Remember I mentioned before, if you have to observe something is moving, you have to be stationed in a place which is not moving. Only then you will be able to see the movement of the other. Notice it. Suppose that's moving, you are also moving. Then that movement won't be able to precisely define that movement while you are in the moving stage. So from a non-moving state, you have to recognize the moving object. Moving object, right? So, without this, chittavritti is apurnam, imperfect, right? So, without perfection, chittavritti, there is something perfect behind us, which is antaryami. Because antaryami is there, that is why these chittavrittis are happening inside us. Otherwise, chittavritti, nobody knows where this chittavritti is coming from, isn't it? We say it's coming in the mind, but who is triggering it out from inside? Different kinds of thoughts are coming. And the chittavrittis are centered around our vasanas. So there must be a mechanism inside which, based on the vasanas, how chittavrittis comes up inside us. Is it not? Otherwise it cannot work like that. So, maya matramna vasudha. So, chittavritti won't happen otherwise. So that's what he is saying here, that so say for example, I want to drink some water. That's a chittavritti in me, right? And in other words, I feel some imperfection in me, that without water I feel something, I need it to keep me happy, satisfied, right? So unfulfillment, you can say like that. Then I drank the water and that chittavritti gone. Then that thought wave will not come again. This is, I'm talking just an example. I felt thirsty, and that is a chittavritti, it comes in me. And then I drank some water, and when I took the water, that chittavritti disappeared from me, right? So, basically, all chittavritti is desires. In other words, it is like a beggar situation, a beggar, how he has desires accordingly, right? So, externally, you may have a lot of wealth, but internally, we have desires, and this chittavritti means we are like a beggar's begging bowl we are carrying, right? So this begging pot, begging bowl, its name is this thought waves, chittavritti, right? Chittavritti, from Shastram point of view, Vedantam point of view, it's a bhiksha patram. Patram for, pot for collecting the chittavritti, right? Only thing is, this pot inside us, it's been there for a very long period of time, and we are carrying this pot all the time with us. Want this, so many things we want, right? So, Vasishtha Maharshi said this to Ramachandra, that even if with this begging bowl in your hand, even if you go to a chandala's street, chandala's living in their street, And even if you take bhiksha from there, that, yeah, but doesn't matter. He says, Vasishtha says to Ramchandra, you go to Chandala's street, where Chandalas are living, and you have a begging bowl, you take bhiksha from them, from the Chandalas. Even that is not as bad as carrying this begging pot inside of desires, says Vasishtha to Ramchandra, right? And you should break that begging pot inside, he said. So, don't wander around like a murkha with a bhikshavatram inside you, right? What is this bhikshavatram inside? All the desires. Different types of desires, right? Constant desire, and that will disturb your shanti, he said to him. And that desires are disturbing your shanti inside. And so, because Krishna is saying to us, our surupam is shanti, isn't it? Shantoyam atma. Upanishad is saying that. Shantoyam atma. And the reason why we are not experiencing that shanti now is because of this vichavatram inside. So, between two chittavritti, just like Krishna is disappearing, and similarly, between these two chittavrittis also, behind that, there is that Purna Vastu. Krishna is present, and he disappears temporarily. And this Purna Vastu, that is present behind all the chittavritti, to make us conscious of that, Acharya is required. That is for that purpose, Acharya. So, Krishna didn't give anything new to Arjuna. Krishna says to Arjuna that Arjuna, when he has already got Antaryami inside, Krishna is present as Antaryami. What Krishna has shown to Arjuna is that Antaryami inside, who is present, he is the one who is controlling your mind. Who is controlling your mind? So, and that is your Swarupam. And Krishna is pointing out to this, right? So, what Arjuna already got, Krishna is pointing out to him, right? So, Purna Vastu, Krishna has shown it to him. Purnada, or perfection, you already have it. Not that something has to come from outside. This is all misunderstanding. In spiritual life, we think, oh, I have to do so much sadhana. I have to go in all these pilgrimages, in all these different temples, all these holy places, and I have to meet so many holy people, and one day it will happen. Realization will come to me. And then sometimes people say, oh, I've done all that, but nothing is happening. Where is this all coming from? Because you're searching for in the wrong place. Antaryami inside, he is the one has to do the upasana for. Yeah. So, they give some examples for that to make us understand better, right? You know this modagam, a sweet they make offer to Ganesh on the Vinayak Chaturthi and all that day, right? And modagam is the one which gives anandam. They say, in Upanishad, name is modagam. In other languages, there is different names, right? And modagam is made like this. Inside, there is a sweet part, which is purnam, they call it, purnam. Outside, it is all flour. And there is salt also in that. So, children, if you give them this modagam, what they will do is, they will separate the cover outside. They will only want the sweet one. They will eat that, right? The grown-ups, they will eat the whole thing. They say, it's a flower, it shouldn't be wasted. But children, they will get it and they'll run away from there and hiding somewhere else. They want to enjoy the sweet part of it inside, right? Jnanis also are like the children, right? The taste is for that purnam inside, the perfect thing inside, right? The flower outside doesn't have much taste or anything. It is, so they won't eat only the flower. Children won't eat. They will only eat the purnam, right? When this flower joins the purnam, it has a taste, but the actual taste is coming from that purnam thing, sweet one, right? Older people, they enjoy the purnam through the flower. That's how older people, when they eat, they will eat, enjoy the purnam through the sweet, right? But jnanis, realized souls, are like the children, and they will pick the purnam and enjoy it. whereas ajnanis, they will enjoy the Purnam with the flower. So Modakam becomes Modakam when you remove that flower and only eat the sweet inside. And this is spoken as a symbol for that. What we have to do, right? What is Purnam? Purnam is that perfect thing, Antaryami inside. That is the Purnam inside us, right? There is perfection in us, but that is only for the Antaryami, right? Purnada is our Swarupam, it is. And this experience that I am existing, Sat experience, right, which is continuous, never broken down, that on that experience, Purnam, all other flower is there. What is that? The gross body, the mind, the intelligence, the ahankaram, senses. These are all the flower which is built around that Purnam inside called Antaryami. Called Antaryami, right? And which is a coating, like on top of that, right? So, what we are doing now, like Ajnanis, we are enjoying that Purnam inside through this body. Body, mind, the senses, ahankaram, everything. It is like that flower outside of the Purnam, Modakam. And through, like older people enjoy the Modakam or the Purnam inside through the flower. We are enjoying that Purnam inside as Antaryami through all the other things called body, mind, senses, everything, right? Buddhi, sen, all of them, right? But we don't know that we are actually enjoying that Purnam inside. We are not aware of that. That is the avidya inside us, right? So, because of that, we don't know the swabhavam of the Purnam and we are not able to enjoy it. Therefore, we get dukkha. Distress comes from that. We are not able to enjoy that beauty of the Antaryami inside, which is unbroken, permanent. Antaryami's nature is that Satya Chitta Ananda, Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Svabhava, that is Antaryami, right? So, body, nobody can make it Purnam. It's not possible under any circumstance. You can do anything you like with this body, it will never become perfect, right? Same thing with the mind, you cannot make it perfect. Mind itself is imperfect, right? So, from that imperfection has risen this thing called mind. Mind has come from that, right? How can that be perfect, right? Perfection is not something what you have to acquire it. Yeah? Perfection is already there. If something is perfect, it should be perfect all the time. You cannot make something which is not perfect, you cannot make it perfect. This is things we have to understand between the body and the self. Body is concerned, it is imperfect by creation itself. You cannot make it perfect no matter what you do with it. Same thing with the mind, same thing with the intelligence, same thing with the senses, same thing with the ahankaram. They are all imperfect and therefore it cannot be made perfect. With this understanding you should deal with the body, mind, senses, everything. The only thing that is perfect inside is Antaryami. Antaryami inside, right? So, that statement in the Bhagavad Gita is Na Tado Vidyade Bhavo. Na Bhavo Vidyade Sada. What a powerful message that is. You cannot find a much more precise definition of perfection what is spoken in that verse. Ubhayorabhi Drishtantam Stanayor Tattva Darshina. Krishna says, it's not me saying this. Tattva Darshis have spoken this. He's talking about the rishis before him, before Krishna's speaking Bhagavad Gita. He says, Tattva Darshis have confirmed this and you have to accept it. That's the beginning, middle and end of it. There is no more further discussion about it. So you have to begin Shastram from something which is very solid and stable. You have to begin from there. Otherwise all your Shastram is becoming a completely mental speculation. It won't have any sound support behind. This is the beauty of Bhagavad Gita. That particular verse, Nasado Vidyade Bhava, Nabhava Vidyade Sada, Uhayorabhi Drishtantam Sanyor Tattvadarshami, is the very, very foundation of the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, right? So he says like that. The having said that, he said that the Sattva Tattvadarshini. So Sattva has no abhavam, and Asattva has no bhavam. That's all it is. Simple. Tattvadarshis have found out this truth, Krishna says. Tattvadarshis have found out this truth. That what is real cannot get destroyed. And what is not real cannot have existence forever. This principle. Now, that's what he's saying. So similarly, this body, mind, senses, at the moment, it appears to us as though they all exist, right? But they are not existing permanently, temporarily. They are existing. And it will not give you permanent happiness either, right? Perfection is there in us, but perfection, you don't have to bring it from outside, but we have forgotten that. Why? Our Shraddha has gone away from that. You cannot say you have forgotten. It's not forgetfulness actually. What it is your Shraddha has gone on the Vastu, right? That means attention on the Atma, Andaryami. We lost that. Andaryami, right? So, from this what we have to understand is, in spiritual life, sadhana is not the most important thing, right? For example, dhyanam, japam, but Shraddha is more important. Shraddha is more important. And when Shraddha is not there, if from the Andaryami, if your Shraddha goes a little jerk, happens there, then you have lost the Shraddha. You lost it. If a little jerk happens from your Shraddha in the Andaryami, right? And when you are moved away from that, to push it back into that, say it again, for that purpose is Bhagavad Gita Shastram. So that is how Bhagavad Gita has been spoken. Yeah. There's a lot of things to think about these first and second chapters. And as we keep going, you will understand the background of all these things here. So we'll continue after the break. Cheto darpanam arjanam vau mahadavagni nirvapanam shreyakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadho jeevanam anandam budivardhanam pradipada purnamrada swadhanam sarvatna subhanam varam vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam namyamakari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatra arpida nimida smirnena kala trishitava kripa bhagavan mamabi durdeiva medrashamiha janidhanuragaha Trinara Bishuni Jaina, Tarorabi Sahishnuna, Amani Nama Nadena, Kirtani Sadahari, Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim, Kavidamba, Jagadisha Kamae, Mamajan Minijan Manishwari, Bhavadal Bhakti Haidogitoi, Ainandanu Jagingaram, Padidamam Shame Bham Budo, Krabayat Hopa, the Bangajasida Duli, Sadrasham Vijindayam, Nayanam Galada Shudharia, Vadanam Gudgudhaya Gira, Pulagair Nijam Gadavabu, Tavanama Grahane Bhavishadi, Yugaidam Nimeshana, Chachusha Pravishaidam, Shunyaidam Jagal Sarvam, Govinda Varehename, Ashlishava Padre Dampinashtumam, Adarshanam or Mahadam Karyotuva, Yatatadava, Vidadadulam, Bado, Malprananatha, Sunayavanapara, Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam, Govinda Govinda. So, Shraddha is important than sadhana. Yeah. So, Arjuna, he says to Arjuna that this Shastram, Arjuna had this Vishadam first, right? And what was the reason for the Vishadam? Because he has identified with things what he is not. Not only within himself, about others as well, right? So, That is why first thing Krishna said to Arjuna, that thing, the identification, what you have done, right? Whether it is you or someone who is standing in front of you, in the field of bodily level, in the bodily platform, nobody is going to be here in this world permanently. First thing Krishna made that very clear. On a bodily platform, nobody is going to be in this world permanently, right? And nobody will be perfect either in the bodily level. It's not possible, he said. So, but on the other hand, Krishna said, it doesn't matter whoever it may be, in the platform of the soul, everyone is permanent. That fundamental principle what Krishna spoke to Arjuna. Very fundamental idea. That is, that means on a bodily level, platform of the mind, it is never going to be here permanently anything. It will all disappear one day. On the platform of the soul, everyone will be existing all the time. Right. So therefore, your Swarupam is Amrita Swarupam, eternal. And therefore, there is no necessity to feel distressed about that. Because if you are feeling distressed, because in the platform of the body, shariram, body is imperfect thing it is. Why you feel distressed about it? It is an imperfect thing. And one day it will go. It cannot stop that. And therefore you are thinking about all these Bhishma, Drona, Karna and all these people. Thinking about them and feeling distressed about that means shows that you have not understood anything. Krishna put it like that, right? So, in other words, the cause of your distress is a misunderstanding. Misunderstanding, right? And is there any solution for that? No. Because, imagine a situation, suppose you have a medicine to stop death. Imagine what will happen in this world, right? Even by about 70, 80 years, you just want to go. Had enough of this place and all the things, what's going on, right? So, so therefore, many acharyas have said this, body is another name for death. Body is another name for death, right? And the awareness, bodham, inside, I, is another name for liberation. Another name for liberation. Or immortality, right? So, shariram or body is another name for death. And nobody can live happily keeping this eternal. It is not possible. And these two things won't go together. So, shariram, nobody can make it perfect either. And that is the basic foundation in Bhagavad Gita, right? So that is the first thing Krishna spoke to Arjuna about the body situation. Yeah. Then Vishadam, Dukkham. So then Krishna said to him that people who have suffered heavily in life or who has experienced distress a lot, they alone will get the secret of spiritual life. They will only understand the secret of spiritual life. Who have suffered, experienced distress in life, right? Because it is at that time the need for spiritual life, he will feel for that. Only when the suffering is there, right? Just like when you are very thirsty, you will enjoy drinking water. Right? So, similarly for Vishadam, for distress, the root cause of this is Ajnanam. Krishna said that, and without any compromise, he said, uncompromising, he said that root cause of your distress is Avidya, Ajnanam. Right? The Ajnanam is this, that you felt that the cause of your distress is this body, right? And you identified with that body. That is where the problem has begun. Cause of the distress is this body, and you have identified with that body. Right? And similarly, you thought not only your body, you thought other bodies also in the same way as real. Right? And both of these things are responsible for your distress, right? That means your avidya inside and the avidya you have imposed on others also have become the cause of your distress. That's our situation, isn't it? We identify with our body and we identify everybody else with their body, and then on a bodily level you are interacting each other, and the end result is that we suffer from that, right? So Krishna pointed out the cause of this vishadam first, right? What is the medicine for that, for this disease? Knowledge of the self, atmajnanam, knowledge of the self, right? So in our swarupam, atmajnanam is that, in our swarupam, in our actual identity, there is no birth, there is no death. Birth and death is only for the body, right? So in our swarupam we are purna vastu, perfect we are. We are perfect in our swarupam, spiritual identity, right? Nitya shuddha buddha mukta svabhavam. And that bodham, awareness, is tattvamasi, right? So you yourself, he says to Arjuna, right, that this perfection what you are searching for, he says to Arjuna, that's you. That's you. That's your identity, right? And that is not something that you have to achieve or acquire by effort. It's already there, right? If it has to come due to over a period of time, it is going to happen. If it is like that, suppose tonight you are dead, and what will happen then? A person has come with an intense desire for liberation, right? And you have told him, you do this sadhana, and practice it and then see what happens. But suddenly he died tonight. He could not do that sadhana. So then what will happen? You know, if you think Bhagavadam, this principle is very strong there. When the background is like this. Parikshit Maharaj performed a wrong thing by hunting the animals. And in that process, the very Kali he stopped got inside him through that weakness of killing animals. Violence, isn't it? What we call as himsa. Through himsa, the Kali got inside. Then, what happened? He wandered around, he felt hungry suddenly, severe thirst came to him. And then he saw this Shamigha Rishi's ashram, walked in there. Shamigha Rishi is sitting there in meditation. Parikshit felt offended that Shamigha Rishi didn't give any attention to him. And in frustration, he took the dead snake there, put it on his throat and walked away from there. Which normally would have, Parikshit had never done that, such a thing. And if you read all the verses there in the first canto, you will see he is saying about, what have I done, he says, Parikshit says. My ancestors, who had such a great relationship with all the rishis, and this is what I have gone and done. And he's saying to Krishna, punish me for what I have done. Immediately, you should punish me, he says. The thirst he felt there, he went back to the palace, didn't even drink a glass of water. This thought is crushing him inside, giving him trouble inside. Meanwhile, Shamigha Rishi sent two brahmacharis to the palace. Our Sringi has gone and done this thing. Now, how did that happen? Sringi was not aware of all these things. Sringi was playing somewhere. He's a little boy, 5-6 years old boy. He was playing somewhere. And someone who was passing through, he saw Shamigha Rishi sitting there with the snake on the throat. He went and told Sringi, look at what's happening to your father. He's sitting there with a dead snake on his throat. That I think the king has done this, Parikshit has done this to him. Sringi, if you have to read the history of Sringi, where Sringi is coming from. Sringi has got a lot of tapashakti. Tapasya was very strong. Tapasya, if it is in the wrong hands, it can cause problems. And that's what is that poor child has done. Sringi came and he saw this dead snake, gave him a very strong curse. Whoever has done this, within 7 days, Tathagata will bite him and he will die, he said. Now, when Parikshit Maharaj asked for water. Shamigha Rishi didn't hear that. When Sringi gave the curds and he started crying, after that he started crying after giving the curds. Child, isn't it, not knowing what he has done. He has cursed the king, of the emperor of the whole planet at that time, Parikshit. After cursing him, he started crying for what he has done. And he woke up. So there is a commentator who says about this in the Bhagavadam, that how come he didn't hear when Parikshit asked for water, but when Sringi cried, he heard this. How did that happen? His explanation is beautiful. What he said was that when Parikshit approached Shamigha Rishi, Shamigha Rishi was in meditation, dhyanam. And in that dhyanam, Krishna was present there, and therefore he didn't hear about Parikshit. When Parikshit asked for the water, right? When Sringi cursed him, that woke him up. Why? How did that happen? Krishna, on whom he was meditating upon, Antaryami, who he was meditating upon, suddenly withdrew from his heart, and that woke him up. Not Sringi's crying woke him up. Antaryami inside woke him up. Antaryami left, because in meditation you are meditating Antaryami inside. That Antaryami escaped from inside, and that woke him up. And that was the reason that suddenly Sringi's voice has woke him up, whereas Parikshit's voice didn't wake him up. This is Krishna's arrangement. That this whole thing was engineered from behind by Krishna. Engineered everything behind from Krishna. That when Parikshit asked for water, he wouldn't wake up. When, just to say this, that Antaryami is the one who is controlling everything in everyone's life at every minute. Antaryami Upasana is so much in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad spoken. You see, form of Krishna appears in front of us. It can come and it can go tomorrow. Whether it is Krishna or Ramachandra or Shiva or Sri Parvati, whoever it may be. Form will come and go. But this is our permanent connection with Krishna, is through this Antaryami, not through the form outside. So that is what he is saying there, that Antaryami Shamigha Rishi decided that when Parikshit asked for help, water, not to respond, and Antaryami in Shamigha Rishi decided to wake him up from the voice of Sringi, Sringi's voice. And then these two brahmacharis came and told Parikshit that we have been sent by Shamigha Rishi, and in his son Sringi has seen that dead snake, you have put it on his throat, and he has given you a curse. The curse is like this: in 7 days' time, you will be dead. Tatshaka will bite you, and you will be dead and gone. So, why we have come here is to tell you that you still have 7 days' time left. If you want to do anything in these 7 days to prepare for it, you can prepare for that. To give you that information, we had come. This is how the boys, they delivered the message and they went back to the ashram, to the forest again. So, what I was saying this was that if a person come and if you are telling him, he is really ready for spiritual life. A lot of distress he has got in his life, and therefore good vairagyam inside, and the person is really ready for spiritual life, he will listen properly, right? He won't take it as an entertainment. He will take it purely as from the spiritual level, right? Now if you tell him that I'll give you some instructions on sadhana, what you have to do, what principles you have to follow, four regulative principles and 16 rounds and prasadam taking and all other things which normally we tell people to do all that. After doing all that, it will happen if you say to him, but the same night something happened and he died. So that means he cannot have spiritual life. Does that mean that? No. That's not how it is. So that is the point here, that the person, if he is ready for spiritual life, he should have the solution for them on the spot. It should not be for a long time you have to wait, right? So Parikshit Maharaj has got 7 days time. How much can you do in 7 days? How much can you do in 7 days? We have done for 60, 70 years and we are nowhere still. This is our sadhana. So what could Parikshit could have done in 7 days time? Imagine that, right? And Sri Shiva Brahmarshi knows this very well, right? And he knows time is of no importance at all. In the Bhagavatam, if you take that second canto, and how Shuka Brahmarshi told Parikshit, you have got 7 days time, it's more than enough, he says, for self-realization. What does that show? That means liberation is not dependent on your karma or sadhana. That's the proof of that. Yeah, it is not dependent on your time. How much time you have got? It is, has to happen now, here itself, right? So, death has come and starts open its mouth, ready to swallow Parikshit, right? And how can you explain? So, that is why he said, here itself, that perfection has to happen. And these Upanishads are very firm on this issue. Yeah? Ihameda Vedi. Kaino Upanishad says this, Mahadi Vinashti. If it has not happened here, then when it will happen, we don't know. If it has to happen, it has to happen now. But when it will happen, we don't know. Now, Upanishad will say like this, but Krishna will say in a little different way in Bhagavad Gita, the same thing. Krishna is saying there that Anega Janma Samsidhyam Tevijadi Parangadim. Now, when Krishna says like that, we may misunderstand that, oh, it's not possible in this life. No, no. Krishna has not denied that. What Krishna is saying is, normal course, because of the avidya inside is so strong, it can go on for a very long time. Everything depends on the person's readiness, how ready he is to accept it. Then Vyasayalpiya Buddhi and Siddha Prajnatumati has said, how far you can, your Shraddha is in that, depending on that. It can take many, many, many lifetimes. It can happen even right now here itself, provided the person is ready for it. It is not dependent on sadhana. It is dependent on the readiness of the person who is willing to accept it. Yeah. That's why in another place in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, Sharira Yatra Abhichate. This Sharira Yatra, you are going through this body and you will have to go to another body and you will go through that Yatra again. Right? So, if you get it here in this life now, you have escaped. Right? But, if it is something you have to get it afterwards, then Kaino Upanishad says, Mahadi Vinashti. It's a great loss, right? In other words, Kaino Upanishad is saying, you should get it as quickly as possible, right? So, one must not think like this. Like all other things, you will say, oh, I'll think about it and then I'll make a decision about it, like we do in mundane life. I think about it, let me think it over, and then I make a decision about it, whether I want it or not, liberation, and then whether to come into spiritual life or not. If you go in that direction, you won't get anywhere, he said. So, that is why, and Chindamani, that precious stone, it has got a quality, if it touches anything, it will turn into gold, right? But, Ajari Swami says there, a guru who is a very realized soul is compared to this Chindamani. Ajahn Swami says that's not right. Why? Because that is actually you are insulting the guru. Chindamani will make any object perfect if you give it to Chindamani and make it gold, right? But Chindamani won't make that goal, that object, another Chindamani, it won't make out of it. Chindamani, you heard about Chindamani, isn't it? Chindamani, Pragara Sadma Shakalpa Vriksha. People ask, where can I get this Chindamani, he says. Which jeweler is selling it? It will be nice to get one of that. So, Chindamani, there is a story with, what's his name? Rupa Goswami's brother, Sanatana Goswami, and Chindamani. So, anyway, Chindamani is... has got this capacity to turn something into gold. And Chintamani is compared to a spiritual master. Ajaya Swamiji says, no, Chintamani can only turn something into gold. But the spiritual master is more than Chintamani. Why? He makes him also liberated, like himself. He brings him into liberated state, right? So, he makes him also, disciple also, like himself, right? So, in other words, he is not seeing the disciple as separately from him, another entity, and instructing him. He is making him himself, like you say, what Shivabra Maharshi did with Parikshit in the Bhagavatam. Whatever Parikshit was saying, Siddhosmi, Anugrahi Dosmi, Bhavada Karunalpana, he is experiencing the same state like Shivabra Maharshi was, right? So, both of them come to the same anubhuti, realization state, right? And elevating him to that Brahmanishtam stage, and Guru has done that. So, and the same thing Krishna is trying to do with that, Arjuna also, saying to him that you are not separating from me, right? And there is a verse in the Bhagavatam to say this, in the fourth canto, you will see this in the 28th chapter, Puranjanobhakyanam story. Remember that Brahmana who went back to Vaikuntham and he told, you and me are the same. That's that verse, 62. Aham Bhavan na cha anya. We are not different. We are one and the same. Tvameva aham vijakshapo. You and me are one. Tvameva aham vijakshapo. Na nau pashyandi kavaya chidram jadu managabi. Aham bhavana janyastum. Tvameva aham vijakshapo. Na nau pashyandi kavaya chidram jadu managabi. Managabi. He said that. Yeah. So, I am you and you are me. Right? And there is not even a little difference between us, right? So, Guru's responsibility is that, to make him realize that he is not different from him, right? Instead, if you say to the Guru, says to the disciple, you stay with me for some time, do these services, what I am going to tell you, and then I will tell you what you have to do afterwards. If he says like that, you have to be a little bit careful with the Guru like that. If the Guru says like that, that means a proper guru should be able to release the qualified disciple immediately from the bondage. So, that perfection is what Krishna is trying to give it to Arjuna, right? Ramatirtha used to say like this, there is only one disease in this world, he said, ignorance. Ignorance, right? And only remedy, there's only one remedy for that, and he calls it as know yourself, knowledge of the self, in other words, right? So, ajnanam, that's a vyadhi, and for that, the only medicine is atmajnanam, knowledge of the self, nothing else, right? And Guru is pointing out to that, and we see ourselves when realization happens, that presence of Antaryami inside, with that, all the avidya has gone along with that. So, first Arjuna, Krishna spoke to Arjuna, in the beginning, these things, right? That Atma doesn't have a birth, Atma doesn't have death. You are Atma, and why are you feeling distressed about that, right? First of all, get rid of that distress from inside. Ma Shucha, he says that. So, he spoke about the truth to Arjuna first, right? Then, staying in that state of knowledge, Jnanasthiti, one may think that, oh, I have to go and sit down somewhere, in loneliness, and remove this misunderstanding, and remember, stay in that meditative mood, and don't want any kind of vyavaharam in this world. Because once you come to vyavaharam, you lose this knowledge straight away. That's the problem with vyavaharam, right? In knowledge, there is shanti there. In vyavaharam, there is ashanti, disturbed state, right? So, there is a story about this. a discussion with Janaka, talking about it, right? A sadhu went to see Janaka, right? Because Janaka was a jnani, realized soul, a lot of sannyasis used to come and see Janaka, right? For advice and instructions from Janaka. So our Vedavyasa Maharshi decided to send Sri Shuka Brahmarshi to Janaka. It's a famous story, well known. And idea was, this story comes from Devi Bhagavatam. Sri Shuka Brahmarshi going to visit Janaka. This story, right? So, intention was, Vedavyasa Maharshi thought that if he goes to Janaka, and if Janaka sees him, how does Janaka think about Shuka Brahmarshi? That is what was Vedavyasa Maharshi's mind, it was, right? And this story appears in Devi Bhagavatam, it appears in Yoga Vasishtam also. Right? Janaka was an example as an emperor and still in Sthita Prajna stage. You know, that's a great dynasty it is, is it not? Janaka's family history, if you remember what Shuka Brahmarshi said about them, Alpa Vidya Visharada, he says. When Ramchandra's appearance at the end, he says about that royal family, Alpa Vidya Visharada, all of them were liberated souls. And all over them were highly realized experts in the knowledge of the self. Atma Vidya Visharada, right? So, remaining as an emperor, and still as in the Sthita Prajna stage, example is Janaka. Janaka is the example, right? In other words, he was doing all what he had to do as a king, as an emperor, and at the same time his name was Videha, no connection with the body. Remember a king like that, who had no connection with the body, and you were conducting the administration of the kingdom, right? I am not this body, and I am not this body. Body is not mine. I am not this body. Body is not mine, and body is not for my business, for conducting any way of harem or activities, things like that. It is not that stage for the Janaka's situation now. Janaka's situation was, I don't have a body. You know that? Janaka is saying, I don't have a body. And with the Ashtavakra and Janaka conversation, if you read, you will find this. So that shows how high he was. I'm not this body, body is not mine. What is not for my enjoyment is one level of realization. He has gone even beyond than that, and he is saying, I don't have a body, he is saying. To openly saying this to everyone, I don't have a body. He said that. Yeah. So, so therefore, that is his situation, right? Only if I have a body, I will have to have some dealing with the body. But if I don't have a body, what do I have to deal with the body then? Right? So that is why his name was always Videha. Sita Devi is called Vaidehi because of that. She has come from that lineage, isn't it? So therefore Vaidehi. So this situation with Janaka, not having a body, that means while being a king, what all he has to do? He has to do this vyavaharam in this world. That means a king means he has to punish people, criminals he has to punish, right? And people who are doing good service and doing a lot of help for the people, you have to give them, praise them. You have to appreciate that. Both he has to do, is it not? And he, while Janaka was the king at that time, all these things were going on in the palace. He had to do all these things. People who are doing, like scholars will come, they'll discuss big shastram and everything. They have to be presented with awards and glorify them. And similarly, people who are criminals, they will come, they have to be punished also. Decisions have to be made, all these things, right? So, one sannyasi came and he asked Janaka, how come in the middle of all these things, you are able to remain like this, totally unaffected by that. So Janaka says to him, you told me that I am sitting in the middle of all these people. No, I am sitting in the middle of a big forest, he says. He's not even recognizing all the people who are sitting there, right? Aho janam na dvaidam pashyato mama. He says, it is in that Ashtavakra Gita, he says that aranyam iva samvrittam karyakshamrigam. So, in the middle of people, those who are finding health, happiness from the in the middle of a lot of people, right? I don't see it that way. He says, because I am seeing one tattvam, Advaita tattvam, present in everyone as Atma, right? Because for me, a second thing doesn't exist. There's only one thing existing here, pure Atma, consciousness. That means the level of realization of Janaka was so high that he couldn't even, not only he didn't recognize his own body, he says, I don't have a body, I'm not aware of a body, and not only he didn't even recognize others have got bodies either. So he has gone even beyond than that, seeing only that pure consciousness present in everyone. And I am in that situation, Janaka says, that it's just like sitting in a deep forest. I'm experiencing that. Even though I'm sitting, as you're saying, I'm sitting in the middle of all that. So, Sannyasi has come to see him to get instructions from him, right? And this Sannyasi who had come to see him is also in a very elevated stage, right? And so when he came in, Janaka didn't invite him inside. He left him out for a couple of days to stay. He told his people that somebody is coming to see me. Don't let him in. Keep him at the gate. Gatekeepers told the gatekeepers to hold him back, right? And at that time, different kinds of vyavaharam was happening in the palace, right? And Janaka was coming out, going in, coming out, going in many times from the palace at that time. All that time, the sannyasi noticed that. The sannyasi, Shukabrahmarshi noticed this, that he's coming out, he's going inside, but he's not giving any attention to him, to Shukabrahmarshi. Janaka was not giving any attention, right? So, when sannyasi came in, Shukabrahmarshi came in, he told the gatekeepers that, I want to see the king, right? But they have informed the king. But deliberately, Janaka kept Shukabrahmarshi away. For a couple of days, he kept him like that, right? So, what did Shukabrahmarshi do at that time? He sat there in meditation. In meditation, right? And after 2 days, he was called inside. So, he went in. And with all his king sent his men to accompany Shukabrahmarshi to come inside. So, with all these accompaniments, accompanying people, Shukabrahmarshi went to see Janaka, right? At that time, what did Janaka do? Janaka offered obeisances to Shukabrahmarshi. Why? He is a Kshatriya, and the one who has come is a Sannyasi. So, that etiquette he followed. He offered obeisances to him, right? And then he told him that in our sampradaya, Janaka sampradaya, Janaka says to Shukabrahmarshi, in our sampradaya, when we welcome a sannyasi to come inside, what we do is, we give them a spoon with oil inside, full with oil, a small spoon with oil, right? And I am giving that to you. And he told him, hold this spoon with the oil and told him to go around circulation, walk around and then come back, he told him, right? So when he was doing that, so Shukabrahmarshi agreed, he took the oil and he started walking with that, right? So while going, in one part of the palace, women were dancing And Janaka was also walking in the middle of all that. He gave the oil and told them him to walk, and Janaka was also walking there, not with him, separately, right? And Janaka was enjoying everything, and behind somewhere Sannyasi was also, Shubramashi was also going, right? And Shubramashi was completely focused on the oil, so that it doesn't spill. If it spills, that's a test. If it spills, that means your Shraddha is not there. So, another place, one place women were dancing, and another place there was a big feast going on. Yeah. And a lot of sweets, and he saw Janaka was eating. Janaka went and took the sweets, he ate them, right? And Sannyasi didn't notice all these things. Sannyasi was focused on this oil. Again they walked, and then after some time they saw there is a treasury there. There's a lot of jewels, gold and expensive jewels, everything. And all that is on display there. And Janaka went and took some of them and looked at them and put them back. Sannyasi didn't give any attention to that. So after that they came back, and then he offered obeisances to Sannyasi. He didn't reveal to him that he is Shubramashi or anything. "Why have you come here?" he asked this Sannyasi. So Sannyasi told him, "I heard that you are a great jnani, and I came to offer my obeisances to you, but based on the Varnashrama Dharma rules, Janaka has offered obeisances to Shubramashi, right? And I have only one question," he said. Shubramashi is asking this. "I have only one question," he said, "that what is the secret of this Siddha Prajnatum?" Krishna is going to say this now, right? In the middle of all this vyavaharam, able to remain in that yoga state, unaffected by that, what does that mean? Because Janaka went to everybody. He watched the dance, he watched the jewelry, he watched the feast, everything, right? Janaka says to Shubramashi, "You came behind me, didn't you? Right? Did you see all the women who were dancing there?" Shubramashi says, "No, I didn't see them," he said. "Did you see the jewelry shop?" He said, "No, I didn't see the jewelry." "Did you see the sweets that was being given in the feast there?" He said, "No." And without seeing all that things, you have come back, and therefore, not even a small drop of oil has fallen away from the spoon. The spoon oil remained like that, right? So all these things in the world, they cause distraction, vichepam. It causes vichepam. And without able to not create vichepam inside and not giving attention to that, if you are able to turn inwards and able to remain in that state, the urjam, energy inside, that shanti inside, tejas, ojas, will not leave us. We will get that strength inside. And the proof of that is that in spite of walking around with this oil filled in the spoon fully, that not even a small part of the oil has spilled out. It is a proof of that, he said. Now you take this spoon and go and see everybody again, right? So that time the sannyasi went again, saw women, saw the jewelry, and saw all the other people, namirupam, everything. And like the way Janaka engaged, he also engaged in the same way and came back to Janaka again. So that time Janaka asked him, "Did you see the women dancing?" He said, "Yes. Everything I have seen. Did you see the sweets?" "Yes. I have eaten them also," he said. "Did you see the jewelry?" "Yes, I have seen all of them," he said. So in this way, he looked at everything, he has participated in everything and came back. And then he told him, "You look at this spoon now." When he looked at the spoon, there is no oil in there. all the oil is spilled off, right, spilled away, right? Janaka says to Shiva Brahmashi that you have to do everything, you have to see everything, but at the same time the oil in the spoon should not go. If you, that is Siddha Prajnatvam. This is how Janaka explained Siddha Prajnatvam to Shiva Brahmarshi. Yeah. So, to that extent, Antarmukhatvam has to happen. You can only imagine that state. Imagine that state. Janaka's state. That he is doing everything, but that Shanti inside is untouched. That Shanti inside, right? So, those who can come to that state of consciousness, right? Yati dharmam, nirvikalpa samadhi, able to remain in that antarmugattvam and in the dhyanam stage, they are yogis, right? But they have not come to the situation yet that when they come to vyavaharam, they can fall. They can lose that state, siddha prajnatvam, right? So, the reason that oil has spilled, and that is a proof that when they come to vyavaharam, they can lose that siddha prajnatvam, right? So, those who have not acquired siddha prajnatvam in the yoga state, even though they may have shanti inside while doing their meditation and all, and they will experience that during Atmavisharam, self-inquiry, self-sangam and all, they will experience that. But once self-sangam, they leave the self-sangam, they may think that I've got it now, but after some time they lose it. They will lose it. What has happened now? When they went into vyavaharam, everything has gone, right? So, Shraddha, if it goes into vyavaharam, it will lose the Shraddha in the Atma, right? So, Vidyaranya Swamiji says this in Panchadashi very nicely. He explains that, what this means, right? He's saying that these women who dances with the clay pots on the top, one on top of the other, three, four pots, they'll talk, one on top of the other, they'll put it on the head, and then they can dance with it, and not one top, one will fall from there. How they do it, I don't know, how they get that balancing like that. Yeah. So, he says that, right? And Pungani Punga Vishayakshana Talparobi Brahmava Logadrishanam Naha Jahari Sangeeta Thalalaya Nirtha Maulista Kumbhavani Padiva. So, no matter if they dance, right, according to the music, they may dance, but Shraddha is there. Shraddha is there, right? So, similarly, Siddha Prajna, even he do any vyavaharam in this world, Shraddha is always is that Shanti state inside, and that Purnada, perfection, he will be very alert in protecting that Shanti inside. Because all his Shraddha will not move away from that Shanti state. So, and therefore, he is fully conscious of the Antaryami inside and his identification with the Antaryami. While in that state, he will conduct all the other vyavaharam in this world, right? So, death as well as immortality, both of them is there, right? But he is Jivan Mukta. He's already Jivan Mukta. So, it is that Jivan Mukta who has reached this state while here in Bhagavadam, in Bhagavad Gita, he is called as Sthita Prajna. That Jivan Mukta who has reached that state of consciousness, no matter what happens to the body, what happens in Vyavaharam, not affected by any of those things, still the Shraddha is on the Antaryami. He is called Sthita Prajnatvam. Siddha Prajna, right? So the thing is that we may think that these are all different things. No. This Siddha Prajna only, Krishna will call in another time as a devotee. They are not different. Proper devotee means he will have Siddha Prajnatvam in him, right? And similarly, Krishna will say same person, Gunajitan, he will say, another name, one who has transcended all the three modes of nature. We will read Bhagavad Gita and we will start thinking they are all different types of people. No, they are not. Self-realization is like that. You call in one place as Siddha Prajna, another place as Bhakta, another place as Yogi, another place is Gunatita, another place is Jnani. Actually, they are all one and the same. They are all one and the same, right? Only the name is different, but their symptoms are all same. Symptoms are all same. So Arjuna's doubt was here, is it practical? Arjuna asked the question straight away. Is it practical, right? So Krishna's answer is, if it is not practical, what is the use of this then? If something is not practical, then what's the point in having it? What's the point in trying for it? So Krishna is insisting to Arjuna that knowing this, it is practical and able to manage vyavaharam in this understanding, right? And your daily life and in your Vaidya Sampradaya, the daily life is more important. That's another thing. In Vedic culture, what you will achieve after 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years is not important. How do you live your life every day? That matters. Nitya karma, nitya anushtanam. That's what, nitya karma is more important. Nitya karma means your daily life. That's what matters. Normally, in schools, colleges, other the examinations and all that, we study few semesters, 6 semesters, 10 semesters. Then you get through every semester. Once you finish first semester, then you're not bothered about it. You throw all the books away. Then you go through the second semester. Like this, 8 or 10 semesters you finish. And once you get your degree, all the books you can throw. This is how it is. This is our modern education, isn't it? Our education is like that. And that is how everything in this world is like that, in mundane life. In spiritual life, there is no such thing. In spiritual life, what matters is how you do your daily life, how you conduct your daily life, that's what matters. How you manage your daily life, right? That means from morning to night, what all are you doing? And similarly, several days throughout your life, what you have done, if you add up all these things together, that is your life. This is the Rishi's concept. Rishis think like that, right? So every day, how it is beneficial for you in your life, and how you are able to utilize, and all the problems that is coming in between should not affect me anymore. Problems will keep coming one after the other. Every day there will be some problem or the other, right? But even though all these problems are coming, if you are successful in able to remain in that shanti stage or perfection stage, purnada, without losing that, if you are able to maintain it throughout life, is that possible? Arjuna is asking. How is that possible, right? So, how can buddhi or our inside hand be so stable and remain in the antaryami without being affected by any of these things, right? So, buddhi is fully fixed without any wavering, fully established in the atma. What is the symptom of that? How he will conduct his life? How will he do his vyavaharam? Will he speak? Or will he remain quiet? This is all the questions Arjuna has asked. And you will see that in that 54th verse. Yeah. Yes. Siddha prajnyasya ka bhasha samadhistasya keshava siddha di kim prabhasheda kim asida vrajeda kim. When we don't study Bhagavad Gita in a seriously, right, you will think Siddha Prajnaswam is something I have to get by practicing it. That's how people think. I have to practice it. I will try very hard. Even when vyavaharam goes on, I will somehow manage to keep my that steady state inside. That is not Siddha Prajnatvam. That's a misunderstanding. So that is why Arjuna asked this question. Right? This is the question, right? How will he be in samadhi state? What is samadhi means? And normal samadhi means after death it happens, right? Samadhi means actually atma, the soul, right? It is not a verb, it's a noun, right? In the commentary it says here, samadhi meaning is atma, soul, right? Another meaning is perfection, purnada, and shandi. So what it means is, what you cannot achieve with the mind, what you cannot achieve with the mind, and what you can only achieve with the soul, that is Siddha Prajnatvam. So, you see the difference between Siddha Prajnatvam. Siddha Prajnatvam means something you cannot achieve with the mind. Siddha Prajnatvam is not possible. Siddha Prajnatvam is only possible with the help of the soul, Antaryami, inside, right? So, so Siddha Prajna, Krishna, the Arjuna asked this question, will he speak, will he do vyavaharam, and can he get married, can he have children, and or does he have to be a sannyasi and wandering around with the saffron clothes wearing all the time? And suppose somebody, a woman who is working at home, staying at home, doing kitchen work, is it possible for her to become Siddha Prajnatvam? Is that possible? Right? And that means, will they all look similar? Will they all be alike? Who are Siddha Prajnatvam as God? Will they all be similar? How will they act? How will they do things? Right? And will they be possible for them to do vyavaharam? And in that vyavaharam state, doing vyavaharam, can they remain in that Siddha Prajna state? That's what he is asking, right? Or does he have to really leave everything and go into the forest? Is that required? He said. And give me some understanding about that. So, he says, actually, Arjuna asked this question about Siddha Prajnatvam for our purpose. You see the funniest side of this. A Siddha Prajna is sitting in front of him and he's asking this question. Who? Arjuna. A real Siddha Prajna is sitting right in front of him and talking to him, and he is not able to understand that. Arjuna is not able to understand what Siddha Prajnata is. This is how difficult it is, how subtle it is, that Siddha Prajnata. There is no better example for Siddha Prajnata than Krishna himself. And he is sitting right in front of him. And with that Siddha Prajna in the front of him, Arjuna is asking this question, how does he talk, how does he sleep, how does he walk, all these questions. So that shows that. But Arjuna didn't ask this because he wanted to know this. It is for us, Vedavyasa Maharshi has put it through Arjuna, these things to us, right? So, so he asked this question for our purposes, right? In Vyavaharam life, right, no imperfection comes, unaffected by anything. A kind of perfection comes inside, and this message of Siddha Prajnatvam falls into one's ears. Right, Vidyarani Swami says, then this message that has fallen in the ear is the most auspicious moment in one's life. In one's life, right? Whether you have understood it or not, that's another thing, right? But this Vedanta Vidya, Bhagavad Gita is talking about, even if you didn't like it, you completely didn't like it, you could, because you couldn't do it, and also you couldn't connect with it, right? Even then, it is good, says Vidyarani Swamiji. Why is that? In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a thing called Samrambam, Samrambha Yogam. It is called Samrambha Yogam, right? So, if you are not able to accept all these things, what Krishna has spoken, right? And if you won't accept all these things and say like this, and you leave everything and go away from here, this will go inside and create a revolution inside, in everyone's heart. This Siddha Prajnato. That is how Siddha Prajnastam comes in a person. It will start working from inside. Working from inside, right? So, that is why, because it will work like that, okay, we may not become Siddha Prajnas in this life, but what we have read from Bhagavad Gita and heard from Bhagavad Gita, it will never leave us. It will never, even if you want to get rid of it, it won't go. That is how powerful that is, this Siddha Prajnatam. So therefore, that is why Vidyarani Swamiji says, the moment, the first time this knowledge of Siddha Prajnatam has come into someone's heart, he says that's the most auspicious moment in his life, which something you can never get rid of. It will start working from inside. And over a period of time, when his prarabdham finished, vasanas have gone, he will reach that state at the end, he says. And that is why in Kathopanishad, that famous verse, you remember that? Shravanayavi behubur yona labhyaha. You see that verse? It is so famous. Asharivil kashari kashirianam. In Krishna brought that verse, same verse into Bhagavad Gita also. Is it not? Shravanayabhi behubur yona labhyaha. Shranandobi behuvo yona vidyu. Asharya vakta kushalasya labdha. Asharya jnada kushalani shishta. You can't find a more interesting verse than this about the soul. Soul is amazing. We all say soul is amazing. Why is it amazing? Because of this. That you can hear about it, you don't get it. Still, you don't get it. You can keep on hearing it. Shranayabhi bahubir yo nalabhyaha. Right? And shrunnandobhi bahubo yo na vidyu. That people who have managed to hear about that, many people who have heard about that could never realize it. Shrunandobi behovo yo na vidyu. Right? Then, Asharya Vakta, the one who is talking about it is amazing, he says. Asharya Vakta. And he is very rare. And Kushalosya Labdha. Similarly, one who, if a disciple happened to get it, that's amazing thing. Right? Then, Asharya Jnada Kushalani Shishta. Right? A person who is able to give it to someone, he is amazing. And similarly, and Kushalani Shishta, one who has managed to get it from a realized soul, he is also special, he says. He is also very special. So this verse is saying to us, the process of self-realization is like that. It is not something you can bring it under your control. It's not under our control. And it is not controlled by time or space. That's why they're saying that normally, because we come from the karmi world, isn't it? We are used to karmi thinking. Karmi, how do they think? Karmi think, I'll work for so many years, I'll get this result after that. And then I'll become a guru. And I'll become a sannyasi or a guru, and I'll make gradual progress in my spiritual life. And at the time of death, I'll think about Krishna and go to spiritual world. This is how generally people get this understanding that way. This verse is saying, it is not, that's how it is. Shravanayabhi bahubhur yona labhyaha. Shranandobhi bahuva yona vidyuhu. Asharya vakta kushalosya labdha. Asharya jnada kushalani shishta. If you look at all, everything Krishna is saying, asharyam. Asharyam it is, he said. Yeah. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned like this, that if it has fallen inside somehow, this message, it will start working from inside, right? So, sometimes when this knowledge goes inside, we may be in tamogunam. When we are in tamogunam, that's when this knowledge got in through the ear, right? And naturally, tamogunam will block it. That's what will happen. So, and therefore what will happen, without making any sense, this verse will go inside and it will stay there. It is not making any sense to us. Right? And that bro, that is a tamoguna shrodava. Shrodava who is in tamogunam, that is how he will hear. It will go inside, he will hear the words, but it won't make any sense to him. And he'll be blinking, what's this all about? That verse in the Kathopanishad, people have read and read and read, and it is still ascharyam for them. What does it mean? You are not getting it, you see. You can explain it, but no feeling for it. Not able to come to terms with it. You see, not. And it's the same thing what Krishna has done in that Bhagavad Gita when he took that verse into Bhagavad Gita also. You remember that verse in the second chapter itself, yeah? Yeah, Ashyaryavul Pashyati Kashyidenam, that verse, yeah. So, this is the thing. For Krishna says it is Ashyaryam. Kathopanishad says it is Ashyaryam. Soul is Ashyaryam. Because the way self-realization happens is ascharyam. Is ascharyam. It is not time-bound. Main thing is this Shraddha. Shraddha means good vyavsayalpaya buddhi and then gradually to that sthita prajnatvam. That's all part of that, right? So, for some people, if it falls inside, it goes straight into the heart. You remember that? In the Bhagavadam, in the third canto, in that fifth chapter, our Vidura Maitreya Samvadam, if you look at that, in the Vidura Maitreya Samvadam, he said this, isn't it? Ya karna nadim purushasya yado bhava pradam geharadim chinati. That's what it's referring to, that 11th verse. Kastruptayana tirthapado bhidhanal Satreshava Suri Biridhyamanad, Ya Karnanadim Purushasya Yato, Bhavapradam Geharadim Chinati. Bhavapradam Geharadim Chinati. There is what is known as Amrda Nadi or Karnanadi connected directly from here to the heart. Right at this moment, in all of us, it is blocked. Fully blocked. In every one of us, right? Because if it is not blocked, you would have gone away from now, from here. The fact that you are listening means that it is blocked still. If it is not blocked, we would have gone from here. We won't be sitting here. What is the need to sit here? Ya karna nadim, he says, karna nadim purushasya yado bhava pradam geharatim chinati. That's what he is referring to here, right? So that karna nadi, he is saying here, that it has, once it has gone inside in the right way, got inside, it will go inside and it will give that knowledge of the self immediately. But we are not ready for that because of the avidya inside and the modes of nature, right? Sadhana is there, but you can't trust on your sadhana everything. Sadhana is important. In one level we will say like this, you have to do a lot of sadhana to know that you are not capable of doing it, realizing the truth. To realize that you have to do sadhana and you have to feel tired at the end. So if you have not done any sadhana, provided you have enough maturity inside, pakvata, right? Simply by hearing Bhagavad Gita alone, self-realization can happen. Provided that maturity has come in a person. That depends on one's good fortune, how pure we are, no vasanas, no karmam, everything. If you have become free from that, if you hear Bhagavad Gita, straight away it will happen, immediately, right? So, depends on the pakvata or maturity of the jiva. Yeah. And depending upon the intensity of the shravanam process. So, but the thing is, shravanam is more important given that all other sadhana, japam or pranayamam or yoga sadhana, those things make a person ready for proper shravanam. That's what it does. Japam, dhyanam, pranayamam, all other yoga sadhana prepares a person for good shravanam, right? Sometimes, one time shravanam is enough, you will get the truth. Realization will come. Example, Parikshit heard Srimad Bhagavatam only once, right? And how many times we have heard Bhagavatam? Last 25 years we have been hearing Bhagavatam. And where are we? So but Parikshit is saying, in 7 days he is saying, Siddhosmi. anugrahidosmi. He is able to say that. But how many of us can say siddhosmi, anugrahidosmi? So, and every time when you hear Bhagavatam, it says there, swadu swadu pade pade. Every time it is increases the taste, right? It becomes sweeter. And as much as you hear that, here and there a glimpse of that you get it at some point, right? And accordingly, your understanding also is improving inside, right? But Shravanam, as Krishna is saying here, is the most important sadhana of all. And from Shravanam, realizing that I am not this body, I am not this mind, intelligence, ego, but actually realizing that I am that Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Svabhavam, Surupam. That is our Surupam. And that is Akhandam, Purnam, Shandam. And that realization that that is knowledge. That is knowledge. Right? So, and that is what is experienced inside as Antaryami, and this Bodham all the time, Aham, Aham, and the Purna Vastu. And getting established there in that is called Sthita Prajnatvam. Sthita Prajnatvam, right? And it is not it is not shunyam, it's not empty, but its very nature is this aham aham, that aware bodham or awareness inside, that bodhasthiti, astitvam, existence, that is sachidanandam, and reaching that state, and one who reaches that state, he says, and that is what in the 5th chapter of the 12th canto. You see what he said there? Shukha Brahmarshi says, evam samichan atmanam atmanyathaya nishkale. That line is indicating that. Evam samichan means that he is not thinking anymore, he has become that. Samichan means he has become that. All other things we are hearing now, with our mind we are analyzing it. What does that mean? What does this mean? This is our way of doing things, right? But when self-realization happens, no more mind gets involved and starts scrutinizing it. That is over. That's finished. Here what happened to Parikshit? Evam aham, what's that verse? What he said was, evam samichan aham brahma param dama, brahma aham paramam padam. Then, he didn't say, he started thinking, what is it? No. Evam samichan altmanam. He has become that. Evam samichan altmanam. Altmanyathaya nishkale. Experienced it. Anubhavam. Realization has happened to him. That is self-realization. And that is that Siddha Prajnatvam, what Krishna is talking about here. Names may be different at different places. You have to look at the experience, what is happening at that state. That's what matters. And that is Parikshit's experience. 7 days' time, he reached that state. Evam samichan alpanam, alpanyathaya nishkale. Spiritual life is a very interesting phenomenon. It is not like the karmi world where we work hard, we earn brownie points and you become successful at a certain time after working hard and all. No, no. Spiritual life is totally different. Everything depends on Shraddha, depends on Krishna's mercy, sadhana, they all have something to contribute to that. But when it happens like this. Evam samichan alpanam alpanyathaya nishkale. We'll stop there today. We'll continue Wednesday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.